Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. For those about to talk, we salute you. Talk Radio.
I'll tell you what Farage is. He's a massive stirring bottler. That's what he is. I know what. Let's create a shed load of trouble. Let's divide the country. Let's get families not talking to each other. Let's completely collapse the British political system. Let's crash the pound and then let's bugger off. That's what he's done. That's what he's gone and done. Him and Johnson, the biggest pair of bottlers in the world. Oh, and Chris Evans. This is Talk Radio. Here's the news.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
There's a voice that keeps on calling me. Down the road, it's where I'll always be. Every stop I make a new friend. Can't stay for long, just turn around and I'm gone again. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. Down this road that never seems to end. When new adventure lies just around the bend. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow, the whole world is my home. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on. Maybe tomorrow, I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on. There's a world that's waiting to unfold. A brand new tale no one has ever told. We've journeyed far, but you know it won't be long. We're almost there, we paid our fare with a hobo song. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. So if you wanna join me, maybe tomorrow I'll find what I call home. Until tomorrow, you know I'm
free. Listen for the, there's a little bit of hiss at the end. Hiss, bit of hiss at the end. Because I nicked it from YouTube. Yeah, yeah, that's right, that's right. I ripped the audio. Why is it called ripped? That's an unpleasant term. I'm going to rip a CD. What? Why can someone, 0844-499-1000, why is it called ripped? We all know why it's called spam, don't we? Don't we? From Monty Python. I know. From the spam song. That's why it's called spam. Because it's annoying. I guess. I don't know. So that's true. So it's not such a ridiculous question to kick off a week with to ask why it's you rip a CD. What word would I use? What word would I use? 0844-499-1000, by the way. No straight to air. When I said Friday was the penultimate straight to air, that was a lie. It wasn't a lie because I meant it at the time. But then over the weekend, it's like, if you if you're giving up smoking, right, don't do that patches and cutting down and stuff. If you're gonna stop smoking, stop smoking. Alan Carr, not the tooth man, the smoking man. If you're gonna stop smoking, then stop smoking. Just stop. Don't cut it down and, you know, do all that nonsense. Just stop smoking. What I'm saying is, I was addicted to straight to air as a smoker would be to a fine shag. So it's stopped. We've stopped. It'll come back. We will do it from time to time. But as of today, midnight to 1 o'clock is not straight to air. It's normal services, please. 0844 499 1000. We call you back throughout the whole show. Now, lots of stuff to talk about. You have got homework, OK? Film Ring is happening. I think it's going to be happening next Monday. I think I'm waiting on a guest, OK? I'm waiting for a guest to confirm they can do next Monday. The film you need to watch is, if you follow me on Twitter, you will know this already, Lee, Alan and Dave, they're all blokes. They're all waiting to come on the show. Stay there, be with you shortly. If you follow me on Twitter, then you'll know what it is. It's a film called The Imposter. Imposter with an E. Imposteur. There is a film called The Impostor, which is a different film. I think both are correct spellings, aren't they? Maybe Impostor is an American spelling, like color. So, The Imposteur. It's on. It's not on Netflix. I don't know if it's on Amazon Prime. It's on YouTube, right? It's on YouTube. It's a documentary. It's flipping brilliant. For those of you who know the film, I tried to get the Frederick Bourdin, the actual imposteur, on the show. Instead, we had an argument on Twitter and he blocked me. But we have got, just waiting for him to confirm the date, we have got the private detective, whose name escapes me, but it's the name of a famous jazz musician. Where's the email that I sent him? And I can tell you his... it's Charlie Parker, Charlie Parker, Charlie Parker, Charlie Parker, who's coming on. I think he's cool with coming on. I'm just seeing if he can do next Monday at 10 o'clock. So your homework, dear listener, for the Film Ring, hashtag Film Ring, is to watch The Imposteur. Is that OK? Can you do that, guys? Will you do that for me? And then we can discuss it in more detail. It is Periscope. I'll change the Periscope Wi-Fi in a little bit. It's a documentary about this American family whose son goes missing, right? 3 years later, this Spanish man, he's not even a boy, this Spanish man pretends to be the boy and the family accept him. It's weird, right? It's absolutely weird. That's what we're watching. 0844 499 1000. Lee's on the line. Evening, Lee.
Good evening, Ian. Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, hip, hip. I'm fiddling with me wiffy while I'm talking to you. Is that all right?
Oh, that's why you've gone all quiet on me.
I've gone all quiet because I'm just trying... The Wi-Fi in this building is what can only be described as absolute pony. So if instead of going on TalkSport Guest Backup, which is normally the good one, I'm going to just try and go to TalkSport Guest, which is normally... Oh, that's not even showing up. Oh, blimey. Oh, oh blimey. Right. Yes, boss.
I've got a favour to ask and a confession at the same
time. A confessional favour? Yes, I think we can do that. It sounds like the church. Didn't it, though? Didn't it?
I wasn't able to listen last week due to family reasons.
WTF.
I know. I'm trying to catch up with the podcast and all that, but it's
You'll
Monday evening.
Catch up with my fist in a minute.
Oh, Ian, come
yes,
on.
That's all right. Fair play. Calm down.
So
calm
down. I was hoping maybe it's a job for Alan in a second, but in 60 seconds, can someone sum up last week for me? That would be handy.
Ooh, let's put Alan on the line. Alan?
Hip, hip, hip.
Someone, yes, someone's invoked your spirit.
Well, Monday was all about awkward starts. Tuesday was Gilbert O'Sullivan. Wednesday, it was new callers only. Thursday, we look back at Brookside and that continued on to Friday show, where we have the last ever straight to air.
Oh, no.
I'm just trying. Hang on a minute. Well, he's right, actually. He's not far off. He's got the show. Sorry, I'm just seeing if that internet connection is any better. Is that any better, guys, on the Periscope? Is that any better? He's right, actually. I'd forgotten that we'd had Gilbert O'Sullivan on, and that was an absolute treat.
That was on Tuesday.
Thank you, Alan. You that are very good. Much like the Rain Man, aren't you?
I know.
Yeah, no, that's exactly. Yeah, he summed it up perfectly. Does that kind of make sense to you, Lee? Does that fill in the gaps?
Yeah, that's handy. I knew Alan would let me down.
Any of those things... that you wish to talk about tonight, Lee? Because it's Monday, everyone's a bit miserable, ooh. It's the summer holiday, you know, people are getting ready for their holidays. We might not get many callers tonight, and I've made a rod for my own back. by getting rid of Straight to Air when my usual team is away. Id and Catherine, as you know, have been Murdoch. They no longer work here.
No,
exactly. So I do seem to revel in making things much harder for myself than I would like them to be.
Well, maybe you could get Alan a job in the studio.
No!
Pressing some buttons.
Never! Never!
Hang on, and I'll make an admin on my Facebook page.
You've done. Oh, God. Yeah, Alan started his own breakaway Facebook page.
Yes, I know. He's trying to ruin our one. Aren't you, Alan, hey?
No.
Oh my God! Oh God! But this is. Oh God! I've just worked out. This is Lee. This is Lee who runs one Facebook page, and now Alan runs another Facebook page. This is awful. This is Facebook page wars.
Oh, round one, Alan. Come on.
Hang on. Let's... How many followers have you had on your Talk Radio listeners page?
How many what?
Followers.
All right. Let's.
Oh, hundreds.
Okay, let's just name... Oh, jeez. I'm trying to make the show more... I've been thinking over the weekend, right? How can I make the show more... Is that working better on Periscope, by the way, Periscopers? Is that a better connection? Thank you. How can I make the show more inclusive and open, right, so that we get more listeners? Because the first set of figures are coming out next month, right?
Ooh.
And I'm predicting... I'm predicting... Not very good figures. Not my fault, primarily. I'm not responsible for the lack of advertising at Talk Radio. But I just, you know, anything I can do to kind of beef up the figures a little bit. And yet we've gone straight in, first two cabs off the rank, are talking about some two obscure Facebook pages that not many people are aware of.
Well, that's a bit harsh.
No, it's a bit harsh there.
Well, no,
it's... Because you know I was going to make you an admin.
Well, no, I don't want to be an admin. I'm a 43-year-old man. It's not... It might seem harsh, and I appreciate the work that both of you are putting in. I genuinely do. Anything that, you know... you're doing more than the Facebook team here at Talk Radio. But anything that will encourages people to listen to the show and listen to the station, boom, I'm in. I love it. But in the great scheme of things... Not everybody uses Facebook, do they?
Have you thought about walking around London with one of those, like, boards on, you know, the big alpha boards on your front and back?
Sandwich board.
Yes, it's a sandwich board.
Yeah, I literally have considered that. It would... I don't want to keep knocking the advertising team here, but flipping it. Come on, guys. Please, give me something to work with, I beg you. And by
it
that,
is
I mean,
a little worrying.
I mean, some and listen, the show's doing great. We've got adverts on the station, which is brilliant, beautiful, love it. But just, you know, I like some posters and stuff. Anyway, so Lee, let's give your Facebook page a plug.
Oh, well, I like to consider it as our Facebook page anyway. But it's Talk Radio listeners.
Okay, and Alan, let's give yours a plug.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Okay, and let's just see whose has got the most followers. Lee, how many has yours got?
That's 546, Ian.
Alan?
69!
I wasn't asking what you did at the weekend. I'm asking how many... thank you very much indeed, ladies and gentlemen. OK, well, I appreciate the hard work that both of you gentlemen put in to drawing an audience to the show and indeed the station. Thank you very much. Alan, did we get to the meat of your call?
Well, I just loaded up the imposter on YouTube.
Yes.
And it was made by Film 4.
Film 4?
Yeah.
Right, and I don't quite see what that's got to do with it.
No, because I'm looking at the stars where they have all the companies
yes.
that made the film.
Yes.
And
yes.
Film 4 was one of them.
And?
I was surprised, so I didn't know that.
Okay, is that... Have you seen the film?
I've just started to watch it.
You've just watched the bit at the beginning when all the logos for the companies come up, is it?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay, well, when you've watched the film, Alan, you can give us a call and we could talk about the film, maybe. I don't know. I've got two children who are 6 and 4, and we watched... What film did I watch with them the other day? We watched Goosebumps, right, which is flipping brilliant, right? Although I made the mistake of buying it on my Xbox for 13 quid. Then we went to Sex, that's how you pronounce computer exchange, and they were selling it on DVD for 8 quid. Huh? And he was asking what those logos were that come up at the start of the film. What does that mean? And what does it say? What's the name of the company that made the film? What's that? Oh, that's another company that made the film. What's that? It's another company that made the film. The point I'm trying to make is my four-year-old seems to have the same fascination with the logos at the start of films as Alan Caddick. What does that tell you? Dave, stay there. 0844-499-1000.
The Wild Man of Late Night Radio is back.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Oh, 0844-499-1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, the thing about Nigel Farage, right, saying, I'm quitting because I want my life back. You don't, no. It don't work like that. Well, apparently it does work like that. It shouldn't work like that, though, you oily little SH1T. You've ruined everybody's life. Everybody's life is worse because of what you have done. You have torn this country apart, right? You have completely destroyed this country. Okay, with the stock market's crashing, my pension is worth nothing now, thanks a lot. The pound is worth nothing whatsoever. The whole political system is in complete disarray. Families are not talking to each other anymore, and racism is now acceptable in this country. Yeah, it turns out it's acceptable to go up to brown people and tell them we voted them out and they should go home. It's acceptable to go up to Polish war memorials and daub graffiti on it. It's acceptable to stick your fingers up at Muslims because we voted them out. And you say, yeah, I'm going to stop now because I want to get my life back. Up yours, Farage. Up yours, Farage. And I'm giving you the proper, good old-fashioned, two English salute, you snivelling little toad, because you've completely destroyed this country. You have destroyed it. You and Boris Johnson, you self-serving egomaniacs. And then just as everything starts to fall apart, you both go, yeah, not going to get involved in this. No, it's nothing to do with us. No. It was nothing to do with us. My work here is done. I've crashed Britain. And you've both just run away. You snivelling little cowards. If you were men, if you were human beings, you would stand now just when everything is at its worst and you would take all of the bile and the anger that people feel about you and you would take it on the chin and you would try and right your mistakes. But neither of you have done that. Neither of you have been able to do that. I'm really angry about those two little creeps because they have totally broken this country. Hey, listen, we voted for Brexit. It's not what I voted for. I kind of think we should do it. I kind of think, yes, it was sold to the people who voted Leave on several lies. There were a lot of lies there. We won't get the £350 million a week to go back in. It wasn't £350 million a week anyway, and that won't go into the NHS. And yes, we won't actually get control of our borders, and it won't significantly reduce immigration and all of this money that has come off the stock market. So it was sold to them on lies, but then everything is voted in on lies. So I kind of agree that we should leave the EU. I don't want to. I think it would be an absolute disaster, but it's what the country voted for. But I do also think that Boris Johnson and Nigel Farage should face the bloody music. You made this happen. You should be standing at the front line as it all falls apart around your ears, and then you should be hauled up in front of the beak and charged with, I don't know, criminal negligence or treason. You can still hang people for treason. 0844-499-1000 is the telephone number. Dave, stay there. Stay there. Craig's on the line. Yes, Craig.
I'm a victim of this EU debate as well.
Go on.
I get paid every week. I basically send an invoice to my boss.
Yes.
Because I'm contracted.
Yes.
And as a joke, on the day of the Brexit, I wrote, can you pay me in euros?
Yeah. Oh.
He took it literally this week. I've had my pay given to me in euros. When euros were only, it was £1 equaled 1.1 euros.
Yes.
So even if I change them back, I'm going to be 100 quid down.
What job were you doing? Tossing off Spanish men or something? What job?
No, could window cleaning.
Window cleaning?
Yeah. I normally get a cheque every week.
A cheque? Every time, the last time I had to write a cheque, it took me 5 goes at writing the cheque because I couldn't remember how to do it.
I do one every year for my public liability insurance.
Wowzers. And do you know, do you remember, do you fill in the little stub?
Yeah, it's the same checkbook for about 10 years now.
Why do I continually fill in the little stubs? Because I've never referred back to the checkbook to see what checks I've written.
It's true, you don't need to do it, do you?
And I constantly fill in those little stubs, and it's fiddly because it's right by the spine of the checkbook. So it's a tough one.
You open a bank account now, you don't even get a checkbook.
No, you don't even get a smile. I have been doing some banking today, and it's all online, isn't it? It's all, you have those weird little PIN Sentry machines.
Right.
You know the little machines, like little calculators, but you slip your credit card or your debit card. I don't have a credit card, guys. You slip your debit card into the machine.
Yeah,
and that gives you... You don't have that?
No.
Well, it gives you a unique code that means you can log in online onto your bank account. But I have no idea how it works. But you don't even know what I'm talking about. So
I've seen them, but I've never owned one.
But then in that case, how does it work? I'm not asking you, Greg. I'm kind of looking over your shoulder. And I'm asking the listener, who is stood in their legion behind you, not the British Legion, I mean in huge number, and asking then, how does that little PIN Sentry machine work? Because it's like some weird kind of voodoo. You put in your thing, you type in your PIN, an 8-digit number comes up, you type it onto the screen, boom, you're into your bank account. How the hell does that work?
Yeah, mysteries. Modern mysteries.
It's modern mysteries. Speaking of modern mysteries, Craig, 0844 499 1000, by the way. We call you back. Speaking of modern mysteries, I did something today, Craig, that I vowed I would never do.
The only thing I know you've not done is listen to Stairway to Heaven, but I don't think that's a vow.
It's close.
All right.
I bought an Oasis album.
Oh, excellent.
I bought an Oasis album, yes. I only paid 19 pence for it, plus £1.26 postage. You do the maths. But I bought an Oasis album because I was sat in Cafe Nero, right? And I was sat in Cafe Nero, and they were playing an Oasis song, and it was the theme tune from the Royal Family. Oh, and it's sad about Caroline Ahern.
Terrible.
And it's sad. 52 years old. She was so good. She was so good. I didn't watch a lot of The Royal Family. I was a big fan of Mrs. Merton because she started out with Frank Sidebottom. But I didn't watch a lot of The Royal Family. And I'm kind of hoping that now they repeat the whole thing because I want to see those bad boys.
Yeah, I think Gold have it as well.
But they were playing the Oasis song from the theme tune from The Royal Family, right?
Yeah.
And I was sat there listening to it and I was a bit tired. It's been a long old day. It's been a bit, I feel a bit sad. And I had a little tear forming in my eye, and I thought, this song is absolutely beautiful. I'm gonna go online and see if I can find an Oasis album for a penny. I didn't. I found one for 19 pence, but I thought I'll have that, so I bought it.
It's the curse of the show, because there's the Brookside link again, isn't it?
What's the Brookside link?
When you were talking about Sheila from Brookside.
Oh, yeah. Well, we talked about Caroline Ahern.
All right.
Last week. We mentioned the Royal Family, yeah. Curse of the show. Craig, thank you very much for that. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. So what have we had today? Well, I'm genuinely angry about Farage and Johnson. Genuinely, you sniffer. Can't anyone see? And it's been obvious to me. You know in the film The Invasion of the Body Snatchers, right? Both versions, the original and the 1976 remake with Lennon Moy and Donald Sutherland, right? More so the second one, actually. But you know, when they know that everybody else is turning into those pod creatures, right? And they're going around going, no, look, that's not your wife. That's a pod creature that looks like your wife. No, it's my wife. It's not. It's a pod. And they're going to the police. No. Everybody's turned into pod creatures. Well, I felt like that about Boris Johnson and Nigel Farage. It was obvious to me that they were self-serving, snivelling little so-and-sos that would run at the first hint of trouble. And everyone's going, no. Batman, they're good people. They fight him for what is right. No, they're not. And that embarrassing... Another thing that gets me angry about Farage, right? That, you know, when we voted out, right? And then he went to the EU Parliament, right? And he did that stupid speech. Well, you weren't laughing. You're not laughing now. You all laughed at me before. You're not laughing. Shut up, man. Shut up. We have to go and beg those people for a decent trade relationship. We have to go and beg them to let us get certain special rights off them. Don't go in there, unzip your trousers and take a pee on their desk for crying out loud, you stupid muppet. 0844 499 1000. Gatford, Dave, Wilson and Barry from Watford. Stay there. Come to you after this.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
0844 499 1000. Dave's on the line. Good evening, Dave.
Hello.
Hello, Dave. Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, hip, hip.
What you got for us?
Well, I'm a podcast person. This is my first call.
Well done. Welcome. What can we do?
You.
What can I do, Dave, to make this an even more special experience for you?
Good question.
Is there any, are there any, how long have you been listening to my podcast for, just on Talk or throughout the years?
No, about 5 years since the
Bless
absolute
you.
Days.
Well, you're a good man with a good spirit and a good soul. Are there
Thank
any
you.
Of what I like to call my classic callers that you would like to speak to? Name them, I'll fix it up for you.
Or Verinda or Barry.
Hello.
Which... one of those would you prefer to speak to?
I feel the urge to say Barry now.
Hello.
But you're,
oh, hello, Barry.
But you were hesitating slightly, so do think about it, Dave. Do give it some thought.
Who's the other one?
Verinda.
I do like Verinda.
Hello, but... it's Vinny here.
Oh, hello, Vinny. How's your mum?
She ain't so bad. She's in the shop selling her...
Little bit racist. Little bit racist there, Barry. Now, nice effort. I saw what you did there. You tried to make a newcomer feel welcome, and then you ended up being massively racist.
Ian, that's okay now. That's okay.
Oh, he's right. It's hip to be racist. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun. I didn't do the dialect, did I? I just raised my voice.
It's hip to be racist, and racism is back in fashion like it was 1977.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to start doing some voices soon.
Oh.
Oh, bloody hell. There you go, there's one. And it's fashionable now. It's trendy. Very trendy now. It's what all the kids are into is casual racism. Barry?
What about Jim Nick Davidson?
Sorry?
Okay.
Who's that?
Is that acceptable now? Jim Davidson's...
That wasn't Jim Davidson. That was Lenny Henry. Okay.
No, he's... Patangas.
We used to have...
Patangas!
Where is that damn cat? Do you remember, Barry and Dave, your starter for 10, do you remember when Lenny Henry made a movie, an American movie, called True Identity, and in it, he whited up?
Oh.
Yeah, this rings a bell.
Yes, he whited up, and he also put on an American accent.
Oh, can't imagine that smashed the box office.
No box office was smashed in the making of Lenny Henry.
Aren't you thinking of that other one with Steve...
Drop Dead Fred with Rick Mayall?
No, Steve... what's his name? Dennis Penny says, why aren't you funny anymore? What's his name?
Steve.
Hawkins.
Stephen Hawkins.
Yeah, he done True Identity. Stephen Hawkins.
No, you're
Sue Pollard. and John Noakes. Wonderful film.
I missed. Oh, I know the one. It was Barry Court sang the theme tune to it.
Barry Court done the theme tune.
True identity. No one knows what they're gonna see.
A true identity.
You don't know what you're gonna
see.
But you're getting on my titty.
It's a true identity.
And it was true identity, wasn't it? And it
true
was...
True identity. And yes. Then you could buy a badge at the cinema which says, I'm a titty man. I'm a titty man. That was the B-side. I'm a titty man. You're a titty lady. I'm a titty man. Oh, we'll be so lazy. I'm John Noakes and I'm a titty man. I'm Steve Hawking. I'm a titty man. I'm a true identity. I've got a 12-inch of it. Hello?
Dave, what did you call him for?
I had a quick question and a time travel film suggestion.
Yes, sir!
Have you seen Predestination?
Yes.
It's the Ethan Hawke one?
Yeah, it's the one where his own mum and his dad.
Absolutely bonkers, isn't it?
Yep, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that a lot. There's not a time travel film that I haven't seen, I'm going to be completely honest, Dave.
No, I watched that boat one you recommended. That was very good.
Triangle. You seen Triangle, Barry?
Oh, not about the ship with Larry Lamb and...
The woman with the eyes, Kate O'Mara. She was in...
What did she do?
She was in True Identity, wasn't she?
Yes.
She was, wasn't she?
Yeah, Kate O'Mara. Amara. I'm Kate O'Mara. O'Mara, I've got a white streak like Dickie Davis in my hair.
Have they legalised cannabis in Watford, Barry?
No, I'm just trying to join in.
You're trying to join in a little bit too much.
I'll tell you what, though. Say what you will about Barry. He's lifted the mood since all the Brexit Farage talk, hasn't he?
Thank you.
Well, some would say lifted, some would say dragged it back down. So, I mean, I was giving political insight into how Farage and Johnson have ruined this country.
I agree with you.
He is singing the B-side to the theme tune to True Identity.
True Identity,
the B-side, of course, is I'm a Titty Man. I don't know if that's kind of the image I want this show to have.
Well, that's the show, isn't it?
We have a lot of feminists listen to this show.
What? The sight of John Noakes singing I'm a titty man, you're a titty lady.
Yes.
It was number one in the hit parade.
Yes. Dave, I believe you had something else you wanted to contribute.
I was just wondering, I remembered you saying a lot of years ago that you were thinking of packing it all in and becoming a teacher.
Yes, sir.
Still on the card?
No, because I've got two kids now and I can't afford it. But, yeah, in an ideal world... here's the thing, right? Can we get serious for a minute with you on the line, Barry?
Yes, certainly.
OK, so Kieran Fallon, right, he's a jockey, apparently. Apparently, he's not particularly popular, but that's neither here nor there. I just say that to illustrate that I know what I'm talking about. He's a really successful jockey. And it came out in the news today, he's quit... Right, he's quit because he's suffering from depression and he just can't face riding horses anymore. I nearly tweeted, I know how he feels. Of course I don't know how he feels, but flipping heck, man, if I didn't have a mortgage and two kids, I would quit this because I'm struggling to do this and I'd want to go and do something that is more... is more rewarding, less rewarding financially, but more rewarding than listening to an old man saying he's a titty man. saying what he was saying earlier on in the phone call.
Yes.
What would you do, Barry, if you weren't an old man? And you used to work in a grocer's, didn't you? You used to run a grocer's, is that right?
I was a green grocer.
Yeah.
I was the first person around here to sell a kumquat. But I tell you what I'd do, if money was no object, I'd be a Peter String fellow. I'd swan around in a fancy dressing gown. I'd have all the lovely ladies on my arm. I'd have a cabaret of angels. probably wouldn't be Angels. What I could afford it would be Cabaret Mantis. But what I'd probably do is have a VIP suite. I'd sit on a throne. Yeah. I'd say, ladies, some Asti Spumante all round, you know.
But I imagine your life a bit like that anyway, Barry.
Well, my Margaret swans around in her 90 occasionally, but it's not quite the same thing. But I do sit on the throne occasionally in my house.
You at least have a fancy dressing gown.
I've got it's a bit like Peter Stringfellow's. I imagine he doesn't have so much dried egg.
He probably doesn't get his from Marks and Spencer's either. But
the
thing about sitting on the throne in your dressing gown, of course, is you know what goes wrong? The belt falls into the lavy, doesn't it?
Oh, God, it does. It does.
It's horrible. You've got to suck it off.
It does.
Yeah, no one sees, so you can just pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah.
No.
Hey, Barry, I tell you what, Barry, shall we do our best Simon Cowell? This was Dave's first ever phone call.
Yeah.
We could judge him, couldn't we? Like on the Britain's Got the X Factor.
Okay, then.
All right, shall I go first?
You go first.
Well, Dave, I've got to say, for me, that was one of the worst, best calls I've ever heard in my life. You're going through to boot camp.
Oh.
Go on, Barry.
Go on, Barry, be gentle.
I've done this competition for quite a while, and I can honestly say that you are not going home. You're going through the judges.
Yay! Dave! That's two yeses.
That doesn't mean I have to go to Barry's house, does it?
Yes, it does, yes.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
And I'm going to sing a song on my patio.
In a thong.
Yeah, me and Margaret will sit on the deck chair and listen to you singing, you know, Angels or whatever it is.
He's going to have his cat on his lap and he'll be stroking away while you perform for him, Dave.
Oh, yeah. God, what an image. Well, on that note, my brother's listening for the first time, so if you could call my brother Joe an idiot, both of you, that would mean a lot.
That's never going to happen. What do you think we are? Ken Bruce.
Sorry,
sucker.
Press the button.
Beep. Quick, and then the hole falls beneath the floor and he falls through into a pit of sharks and they eat him, tear him from limb.
That's what we'd like.
Barry, did we get to the meat and two veg of what you called him for?
Well, I was going to have a pop about the banks, but the moment's gone now, really. Am I allowed to say, quickly? Or is the moment gone? I went into NatWest today to put some cash away. They used to have a cashier. They've changed it now, it's ever so queer. It's just machines that you feed the money in. Like some sort of money bin. It never works. I tried to complain. The lady looked at me like I was... I'm making this all up like I was a pain. I said, this is a disaster. She frowned at me again. I tried to feed the money in and out, and it in half a pain. It does not work, NatWest. It does not work, NatWest. It used to be the best. It does not work now. Am I still on the air? Useless, NatWest. Rubbish. No.
Uncut after hours conversation for the up all night generation. Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000. Jim, Gatford, Jake, Wilson, stay there. Who's it going to be? It's going to be Jim first. Good evening, Jim.
I would like to leave this city. This old town don't smell too pretty, and I can feel the warning signs running around my mind. There we go.
That was nice. That was nice. Yeah. It turns out it's a pretty song. I have
it
done.
Song by Oasis, I like.
I like that one. I also like She's Electric.
Oh, that's quite a good. Wonderwall.
That's a good. Well, that's Wonderwall is silly, and I've always found Oasis to be utter pony. But I've bought for 19 pence. I have bought the. I've been told it's very good. The Master Plan.
So were you a Blur fan when Oasis were out, or were you a fan
I was more...
I was more of a Pulp fan, I have to say.
I was more on the side of Blur at the time.
Yeah,
In hindsight, I'm more of a Pulp fan. But to be honest, none of that stuff really touched me.
No. You talked about people who... What would you do if you could retire and just do whatever you want?
Yes.
I have a friend who worked in IT for years and years and years. And, he was only, like, 35 when it happened.
Yeah.
The credit boom was at its max, and he owned 13 houses.
Yes.
And he sold all these houses and became a millionaire.
Beautiful.
And he bought a house that was falling into the sea on Key Largo. So it was on the
Key
beach,
Largo, Montego. Ooh, I want to take you to Bermuda, Bahama. Come on, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego, baby. Ooh, let's take you down to Kokomo. We get there fast and then we get it slow.
And every year his house moves a step closer to falling into the sea. And it won't last until he's retired. And he knows that it will end up in the sea at some point. Just clings on to life, clings on to the dream that house, and it literally hangs over the sea.
Oh.
So when it's very choppy,
that will learn him.
But it's nice, isn't it?
I wonder if anybody has ever. Here we go. If you've been in something that's fallen over, 0844 499 1000, and that can be a house. Well, that can be a house over the edge of a cliff. It can be if you've been in a wheelie toilet. Bin and it's been pushed over.
Yeah,
here's
someone who's in a festival toilet and they
really?
A girl, a nice girl.
She weren't so nice after that.
Blue.
Has anybody been in a lift when the cable has snapped?
No. Oh, I know actually somebody I know somebody who owned a factory where that happened to somebody who worked for him.
This is so tenuous that I have to ask, tell me more.
He's a notoriously rogue trader who is on the run at the moment from the police.
Matt Allwright.
He's called Vance Miller.
Okay. Hang on a minute. Then let's not talk about.
He's a nice guy.
You said he's on the run from the police.
Well, he's in China, so he's on the long-term run. He owns a kitchen shop. There's been various programs about him on the TV.
Well, let's not. Now you've named him. I'm slightly uncomfortable. So let's not
sorry,
go.
Sorry,
let's not. And we just, I'm sure he's a very nice. Hang on a second. Jim, shut up. Let me get us out of a potentially quite expensive legal minefield. I'm sure he's an excellent gentleman, and I'm sure he's done nothing of. Don't laugh, because seriously, we'll get in trouble. Jim. Shut up! Yeah. This is serious. I'm trying to get us out of a libel case, mate.
Right.
Thank you. I'm sure the gentleman mentioned is a top-notch trader and an absolute delight to work with. Tell us about something that's completely unconnected to do with a cable snapping in a lift.
Jeremy Corbyn.
Yes.
I remember I phoned up when I had a few beers and said Jeremy Corbyn quite a few times.
Gosh, okay, right.
Jeremy Corbyn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling, Jim. I think we got there in the end. Seriously, here's the thing. You can't libel people on the radio, guys. Because you know who gets in trouble? You do, and me do, too. You see? So, best not. But has anybody... Thank you, Jim. 0844 499 1000. Has anybody ever been in a lift when the cable has snapped or the brakes have gone and it's plummeted from, let's say, the 27th floor down to the first floor? And is it true? Because the myth, of course, is if you're in a plummeting lift, just before you hit the floor, you jump. And then you jump and then you just go down like a foot. And anyone can fall a foot, can't they? But I can't believe that works. But now I think on it, there isn't a time when I go into a lift that I don't think, if this lift falls, I'm going to jump. Every time I go into it. 0844 499 1000. Yes, Wilson.
Hello.
Evening, Wilson.
As you've heard, I haven't phoned up for quite a while.
What do you mean, as I've heard?
Well, I haven't phoned up.
Luckily, I stopped keeping a tally of who phones and when, so it's your absence has not been noted.
Yay. Well, I have 10 things to go through.
Flipping heck.
Right. The first
thing... No, hang on.
I'm just going to get out of the way. I am in a car.
Hang on. Shut up. Pick the best three.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can't do ten things right, to go
I'll
through.
Cut
what the
I'll
hell
cut
is
it
this?
Down to five. Three. I'll cut it down to five.
You'll cut it down to three.
Four.
You can okay. Let's say four, but I'm going to cut you off after three. How's about them apples?
I like them apples.
Them apples is good apples, juicy apples. I've been eating a lot of apples recently. Yes, Wilson.
I am in a cast.
You're in a cast?
Yeah, on my foot.
Ay, ay, ay. Hi, Chihuahua. What happened?
I was swimming and literally the biggest kid decides I'm going to push off at the same time, completely shatters my ankle.
Hang on a minute. How did a kid pushing off...
Well, no, he's not really a kid. He's
well, but how did any... Pushing. Hang on, let me. What is wrong with everyone today? Why can't I get a sentence out? How did pushing off shatter your leg?
Well, what happened was it's my ankle. So,
right.
If you imagine, I'm in a lane.
Imagining it, yes.
I'm at like the front. So I'm doing a swimming lesson. The teacher said, "Right, Wilson, you can go now." So I push off. You're meant to leave 5 seconds.
Right.
Then that person can go ahead. Kid decides I'm going to push off at the same time. He's absolutely gigantic.
Aye.
Nicknamed him the Boulder.
Yes.
He catches my leg, so I go to protect that. And because we're not beginners, it's more velocity behind the kick.
There's more velocity, of course, yes.
Yeah, and so I go to go protect that, and then he gets me in my ankle. So I've customised my... cast. So I've got Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Do you have to put a ruler down it to scratch it?
What? Oh, no. Actually, it's been quite good. I haven't had any things where I've needed to scratch my leg. It hasn't got too warm.
Well, now that we've talked about having an itchy leg, Wilson, you're just going to find, using the power of suggestion, that it's just right down by the ankle. It's just going to start to get a little bit...
itchy, yeah.
A little bit itchy. Just a little, not much, just a little bit. And it's only a tiny bit, and you think you can withstand that, and you probably can for 2-3 hours, but eventually you'll go insane.
Yeah, it's just like, why?
Yeah, why? Why?
So this is my second thing.
Yes.
Let me remember.
Oh, hang on. We're flipping there. You're struggling to remember the second thing. You phoned in and you said you had 10 things and you can't even get to the second thing.
I've made up words for Spanish flea.
The what?
The Spanish flea. Do you remember I phoned up and said, do you know the words to the Spanish flea, Ian?
Yes.
And you said, no, there is none.
Oh, yes, yes.
So I thought, right, I'm going to come up with a little jingle.
Yes.
So if you don't mind, can you just cue the Spanish flea?
No, because it doesn't work like that. I haven't got the Spanish flea
all
to
right,
hand.
Never mind. I'll just do it. Ready? 3, 2, 1. His name is Ian Lee, and he's on the DAB. He works with Ed and Catherine Boyle.
Stop you there. They don't work here anymore.
Oh.
They got Murdoch'd off.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they got Murdoch'd. When Murdoch took over, our Lord and Ubermeister, they got the boot, I'm afraid. They got shown their marching orders.
All right, peace out. Right, I'll change that to his name is Ian Lee.
Yep.
And he works on DAB.
That's correct.
People phone up to him. He is a great guy.
There we go.
Dun, dun, dun. There is a guy called Wilson. That's the best I could do off at the top of my
I got excited then because it. I thought Tori it said Tori Amos is what? Following you on Twitter. Tori Amos. I got all excited. It's not, it's Tom Amos. And I'm tempted to block him just for raising my hopes.
Ian?
Yes?
Block him.
Done. What else you got?
Right. The last thing is I've been practicing this for weeks.
Yes.
It's another little song thing.
Right.
It's, you know that you have, like, those little bits where you play a song?
Yeah.
After the advert breaks every now and then.
Yes.
I would like to sing a song.
Go. You just sang a song.
Oh. Well, can I just say, instead, We were walking around Asda.
Hang on, where's this? Where is what is going on? Am I still having the dream I had the other night where I was... I had a dream the other night where I was in Brookside. Then I had a dream last night. I was back in school. But my teacher was my boss from my last place who sacked me. And I remember I stood up in class and I told her exactly where to go. Is that still happening? Am I having that dream? Because that's what it feels like.
Where you can control.
Sometimes, yes, I do. I have what is called lucid dreaming, where I go, "Oh, I'm asleep. I'm dreaming. I can do stuff." Very, very occasionally.
I had a very mad dream. An extremely mad dream.
I'm going to stop you there because, as Martin Luther King proved, other people's dreams are very, very dull. Thank you, Wilson. 0844 499 1000. There's a vibe. Do you feel it? Do you feel it too, dear listener? There is a vibe of, and I do wonder if it comes from me, or if it's out there generally. But there's I'm always good to speak to Wilson. But with all of the callers tonight, maybe it's the technology. Maybe that's it. Let's put it down to the technology. I feel that no one's listening to me, which is is to a certain extent is fine, right? But it's still my name above the door, guys. Do you know? It's still my name above the door. So, yeah. Oh, wait. Jessica, Gatford, Jake, Kyle, stay there. You're coming up after the break. That I can guarantee. You can too as well, dear listener. 0844 499 1000. Stuff to talk about. Time travel is possible. I time travel at the weekend. I'll mention that a bit later on. Oasis, Batman. Oh, and remind me, I'm going to remind you again, because I really want to make sure you all do this, OK? There is going to be a second edition of Film Ring. You have got homework. And also, we are looking at having an event where we're going to screen outtakes from Kung Fu Elliot and also screen They Killed My Cat in London in August. I'm just waiting for an email to confirm the date, OK?
Talk Radio.
We got through an hour of the show. There's two more to go. There's no more Straight to Air. It will happen again at some point in the future, but we're certainly not having it tonight, OK? So after midnight, usual rules apply. Now's a good time to call. 0844 499 1000. We call you back. I'm Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Hang on a minute, my computer's crashed. Hang on a minute. Let's quit you. Hang on a minute, guys. Hang on a minute. Don't panic, Mr. Manning. Let's open you again. And let's try now. There we go.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a man so fine. I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone past with a girl named Bo. But somehow they just don't end up as mine. It's a death-defying life I lead. I'd take my chances. I'd die for a living in the movies and TV. But the hardest thing I ever do is watch my leading ladies kiss some other guy while I'm bandaging my knee. I might fall from a tall building. I've never spent much time in school, but I taught ladies plenty. It's true, I hire my body out for pay. Hey, hey! I've gotten burned over Cheryl Teagues, blown up for Raquel Welch. But when I wind up in the hay, it's only hay. An open drawbridge or Tarzan from a vine. Cause I'm the unknown stuntman that makes Eastwood look so fine.
It really resonated with me, that Kieran Fallon thing. I don't know anything about jockeying. It's all fixed. Jockeying is fixed, isn't it? Horse racing is fixed, isn't it? Is it? I don't know. Not really interested. But it just... And I don't even know where I heard it. It was on the news today. Kieran Fallon has resigned from jockeying. Don't think it's called that. Horse riding. He's a jockey and he horse rides. That's it, isn't it? Because he is suffering from depression and he's I'm coming with the exact phrasing. He isn't feeling it anymore. They wouldn't have said that in a news bulletin. I don't even know what news bulletin it was. And it really just resonated with me. A, wouldn't it be great if whenever, people were suffering from depression, I'm sure he's a very wealthy man, right? If we could all afford to call them back, because we got way too many calls. Let me have those six calls and then tell them we'll call them back when we get through. And lots of calls coming in. We've got a lot of people I need to get through. Some have been waiting for ages. I will get to you. Jessica, Gafford, Jake, Kyle, Dan, Bruce, promise. Get to you in a bit. What a fortunate position it is to be in, where I've got that many calls. But let me get through a couple of them before we start ringing anyone else back. It would be nice. I'm sure he must be really, really wealthy, right? Not in any way detract him from what he's feeling at all, but it must be nice. That's incorrect as well. To have the luxury of not having to work for financial gain, if you see what I mean. And that's not in any way detracting what the poor sod's going through at all. As someone who has been and who is going through depression, it would be... I'm really trying to choose my language here. And failing miserably. What I was going to say is it would be good to be able to knock all this on the head and go and be ill. But good is not the right word. It would be good to feel well and to be able to embrace every day and welcome the challenges and embrace the mistakes and the downs and enjoy the ups. And it sounds like Kieran Fallon is unable to do that. And that I can kind of identify with. If you're watching on Periscope, we've just had a little heart-to-heart about how I feel the show is going and where the show is and kind of, you know, where my head is in terms of you know, developing the show. And boy, oh boy, oh boy. If I had $1 million, I'd buy you some art, maybe a Picasso or a Garfunkel. Thank you. But if I had $1 million, I would knock this nonsense on their head straight away. Because this, all right, it's not a real job in the great scheme of things, but man, it's stressful. The stress of having to come in every night and dick around on the air for 3 hours. It's kind of... I can't put it into words. If you suffer from depression, you'll understand this, but it's tearing my head apart. You know what I mean? It's ripping my head apart and my soul apart, right? But when it's good, I love it and I really, really enjoy it. And I think I'm quite good at it. It's not me blowing my own trumpet, primarily because I don't have one. When it's average, I think it's awful. And I've got a mortgage and I've got kids and I haven't got the luxury of being in a position where I can go, do you know what, I'm going to take six months sabbatical because I can't afford it. You know, I can't afford it at all. There are bills to pay and CDs to be bought, of course. Where am I going with this? I don't know. But I think what Kieran Fallon did, if that's what is going on, is kind of brave and is kind of amazing. For someone who is the top of their game, the top 10 of their game, I don't know sports, to take such a stand. And, if things were different, then I'm flipping it, man. Getting out of bed each day is hard work, let me tell you that. Anyway, with that in mind, we continue the show. 0844 499 1000. Gatford's on the line. Evening, Gatford.
Good evening, boss. How are you?
My head is... my head. There's so much going on at the moment, right?
Yeah.
In terms of the world and, you know, my life and Britain and everything. I'm feeling overwhelmed. There we go. That's it. I'm feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah, I see that. I see that. The thing is, you help us make sense of it all.
Oh, Christ.
No, but I don't want to put you under any pressure, but with all the stuff that's going on and all the things and, you know, just like, it's quite nice to come around and listen to somebody dick around on the radio.
Yeah, and I get that, and I wish there was a show where I could listen to that, and there isn't. I have to listen to this rubbish. I couldn't listen to this rubbish. And you've been listening long enough. I'm not saying this stuff because I then want loads of people to come and go, oh, Ian, we think you're great and you're fantastic and we love what you do. So, because I won't hear that at all.
This isn't self-pity because want people to say how great you are. This is genuinely how you feel.
Yeah, and it's also hearing the news about Kieran Fallon Just triggered off a series of thoughts throughout my head this morning that has then kind of played, been circling my head throughout the day. And everything, oh God, it's so hard to put it into words. I'm having an existential crisis. Everything is hanging in such a balance. Mm. And I mean, you know, everything in my life personally, but also, you know, my career, but also the country. Seeing what's happened the last couple of weeks with the whole Brexit thing, right, has made me realise, and everybody's resigning now. Chris Evans has resigned, and Farage has resigned, and Johnson has resigned, and Michael Gove is a two-faced, slimy little so-and-so. But did we think he was anything else?
It's like we're the ship and the rats are leaving.
Yeah, yeah, and Cameron has resigned. And it just shows to me that everything is hanging in such a fine state of balance that I can't finish that sentence. I don't know. I feel like...
Anyway. You say that the Fallon thing resonated with you.
Yes.
I don't have the same feeling, but do you ever get this where you see something in the news and you hear about a tragic story or someone who's gone on bad luck, and if they've got the same name as you or if they share the same birthday as you, it hits you twice as hard?
Yeah.
And I don't know where that comes from, and I can't remember the situation, but I remember there was a situation at work where someone had passed away, and they had the same birthday. They were like 10 years younger, and I thought, oh, man.
Yeah.
And it just got me, and it for no reason. Like you say, the camera thing, it's like, here's someone... And sport is different. You know, he hasn't just decided yesterday and then given up. He's been doing that probably since he was a teenager.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably training, getting up early, sacrificing. Probably loves it and has to give it up.
And I tell you what partly is as well, and you can you move a little bit because you're breaking up a little bit, is on Friday, I went to see Love play in Southampton. Some of you may remember, we had Johnny Eccles on, who's the guitarist from Love. They did one of the best albums of all times, Forever Changes. Arthur Lee was a genius. He's dead now, and it's 10 years since he died. And I went and saw them, right, in this great little venue in Southampton, the Brook, I think it's called. And there weren't many people there. There were about 90 people there, right?
I think I saw a Periscope.
Yes, I did.
That was a brief one, yeah.
It was flipping brilliant, right? It was flipping brilliant. But as I was stood there, this is the weirdest thing, man, and it was like tripping, right? As I was stood there, I was travelling through time, Gatford. Now, this is going to sound nuts, right? This is going to sound like he's flipped. But I was literally in the same way that Dr. Sam Beckett, Scott Bakula in Quantum Leap, travels within his own lifetime. I was, right, at various points, I was 19 years old and I was stood in the Garage, which is a venue in London, and I was watching Arthur Lee. Then I was 19 and I was at the back. I could feel it, man. I was in sociology in Windsor College, where I sat next to this guy, Nick, and we had nothing in common. And then we discovered that we both loved Arthur Lee and Love. And we're like, wow, how have you even heard of them? Then I was 21 and I was at another concert, and which is one of the only occasion in my life where I've been stood next to a girl that I didn't know at a concert. And then we both just started snogging each other. It was the most amazing thing. That has never happened before or since. And to make it even more embarrassing, my sister was there with me. And literally, me and this girl, we just started snogging at a concert. It was incredible. And then I was 16 and I was on the coach going to Edinburgh, listening to Forever Changes. And then they played a song, a really obscure song. And suddenly I was in my early 20s, I was 19 again. I was walking the dog through Burnham Beaches, where I grew up. It was insane, Gatford. And it was real, right? It was real. I was actually in those places. I wasn't remembering it. I was in those places. I was there.
It is amazing how music can do that to you.
Yes.
And I don't know what it is. I don't know what part of the brain it is, but music can evoke emotions that nothing else can.
Exactly. And it was weird. And I think that has kind of triggered.
You think it's unlocked these kind of emotions in you to give it a sort of, you know, sort of.
I'm going to say yes, because it's an easy shorthand, and I could spend all night trying to work out exactly what
it
is.
No, it's more complex than that, but I'm trying to go for the quick sort of, you know, psychological insight. I'll be sending my billing later. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I don't personally do a lot of gigs. I haven't really done that, so I can't work with you on that one. But music certainly does it.
Anyway, so my head's a little bit wobbly. Anyway,
I've got some new glasses, and I'd like to complain about how much they cost. Is that okay?
Yeah, please do, mate.
Yeah. Two pairs of glasses, one sunglasses, £356. I am disabled, and the government is poking me with a sharp stick.
Well, if they're poking you in the eye with a sharp stick, that's why you're going to need more... Well, hang on a minute. Surely the company that is... Would you want NHS specs or something? It's not the 70s.
No, that would be nice. I've gone for... I purposefully went for the cheap range, even though they still look good on me. Yeah. What doesn't?
All right.
Because, you know, I'm not rich. It's ridiculous. And also, what I don't like, and this is the main point of the call, and I will mention no names.
Yes.
Okay. If you're having your eyes tested, that's a medical thing, yeah?
Yeah.
But if it's in a building where there's also people selling glasses,
yes.
And they always say to me, ah, Mr. Oh, let's get my surname over there. Ah, Gatford, they would
Mr.
say.
Mr. Ford.
Mr. Ford, your eyes have gotten worse, straight better. You need new lenses. Ah, let me show you our latest range. Isn't it funny how that happens every time?
Hang on a minute, though. You can get glasses cheaper than that.
No, because I need special, because
Special coated glasses. I'll coat your glasses with my fist in a minute. Can't you? There's the weird thing, isn't there? In some shops, you can just go in and buy glasses off the rack.
I did.
No, but I mean, but with the prescription in, you just go in and you can buy a pair of glasses for like a tenner that are like plus twos and minus ones or whatever, however it works.
I've been blind for a long time.
Well, that will learn you, Gatford, you see. That will learn you. God, we've got so many calls. This is incredible. This is unprecedented behaviour. Jessica, could I come to you next? And we've got Jake, we've got Kyle, we've got Dan, and we've got Bruce, and we've got everybody else.
Late Night Ian Lee. Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yes, Jessica!
Hello there, Ian.
What was that? Was that a burp?
No, it wasn't at all.
Sounded like it. The music was playing, so it distorted a bit in my ears, that's why.
Okay.
I
can't even remember. It was so long ago that I called you up.
Wasn't it just?
That's the sound of your popularity.
Yes, well, tonight it's because we've got a new production team, because those other slackers have been Murdoch'd, we seem to be getting a lot of calls through, so I think the right decision was made.
Well, I honestly can't remember.
Was it about Farage and Boris?
No.
Was it about the film The Imposter that I've set for homework for Film Ring?
Oh, it might be.
Whoa. Have you seen it?
No, but oh. I saw that you invited him onto your show.
Yes.
And he texted you back, didn't he? He tweeted you back.
Right, for those who don't know, The Imposter, let me just set the scene ever so briefly, Jessica. The Imposter is a brilliant documentary. You can watch it on YouTube for free. It may be on Amazon Prime. It's not on Netflix. We are setting it for our hashtag film ring, named by a racist, which it was, homework. It was named by a racist. And it's a good name. You can't deny film ring is a great name.
It's good.
And I messaged one of the main characters, the French guy, the Spanish guy. Is he French or Spanish? Anyway, it doesn't matter. And he basically told me to F off. But the private detective replied, and he's going to come on the show as be part of Film Ring. So that's very exciting. You should watch the film, Jessica. It's a good film.
Well, I will, maybe.
Okay.
But mostly, can we call him up and, like, get him to investigate things?
Well, He's a private investigator in wherever it is he is. He's in the middle of America somewhere.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think...
Would you like him to investigate?
I looked at his Twitter.
Yeah.
And I started investigating a little bit. And I thought, wait a minute, I think he's quite old.
Yeah, he's quite a big, portly, old gentleman, yes. Perfect.
Well, I mean...
That's what you want from a PI, isn't it? You don't want a Magnum running around all over the place, driving a Ferrari, making love.
I haven't got... I haven't got a mystery to solve, but I could probably make something up.
It does sound like a really cool job, doesn't it? I would love to be a private investigator, but I bet... How do you do it? How do you go around looking for clues?
Well, I mean, Ian, have you seen his Twitter? I looked at his Twitter, and there seems every so often, periodically, he'll post something like saying, "Oh, I need your help. Have you seen this guy somewhere?"
Oh, hang on, does he get all his clues from Twitter then?
Yeah, And then someone will post things like, hey, have you dug all of the houses that they lived at? I think the mother did it and the sister knows. And they'll go, no, I've got more digging to do. I mean, I think that... I think it'll be good to speak to him, you know, let's see what happens.
Well, we can ask him about being a private... He's in Texas, isn't he? Is that him? Charlie Pye, there we go.
Yeah.
I got him. We can ask him about how he does his detecting work and how he goes about it. Yeah, he's an old guy.
I think he might be old school. There was one Twitter post and he put, I need to check the ears on this suspect to see if he's the murderer.
Yeah, he does. No, that's a big part of the film, is he can tell. This is how he worked out that the guy that was pretending to be this missing kid wasn't the missing kid, apart from the fact he didn't look anything like the missing kid, was by the ears. He compared the ears.
Well, how's the show going?
Look at how dismissive. Well, anyway, you're not buying the ears theory.
No, I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, all right. The thing is, because I am the only person in my family, out of my wife and my two children, that has your actual proper earlobes.
Well,
the dangly bits. The dangly bits of the ear. I was looking at them all the other day. They're all freaks. They don't have earlobes. They just have a perfectly curved ear, and there's no lobe hanging down.
Do you know what? I know what I was going to talk about. How random your show is.
How random your mind is. Go on.
I've not been listening live for ages, but I listened tonight and I thought, God, it's so random. I mean, Barry came on. Obviously, that was lovely.
Obviously.
And then that guy before, I didn't even know what he was talking about. What was he talking about? Clocks or something?
He was talking about... Barry was talking about banks, but I wasn't... If I'm honest, Jessica, I wasn't really listening.
I know.
I kind of used... Whenever Barry calls in, I kind of use that as a time to just recharge my mental batteries.
And then that Gatford guy came on.
Yes.
And I blanked out there too. And, I think that PI guy, when he comes on, the first thing to do... obviously, I'm assuming he's just going to call up.
Right.
Just say to him, right, invite people to phone in with their mysteries. Get the best mystery, murder mystery.
Yeah.
That you possibly can. Present it to him and let's see what he does. But I can't help thinking, from looking at what I saw on his Twitter, that...
He'll just compare the years.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll just go, what were the years like? I need to know what the years look like before I can proceed with this.
I think it's good to have guests, and your topic—it's Topic City tonight, isn't it?
Oh look, we're getting a critique of the show. Fantastic!
No, not at all.
We've got some guests this week. This week we've got—I think on Thursday we've got Miranda Sawyer coming in.
Oh, I like her.
She's brilliant, and she's written a brilliant book called "Out of Time" about midlife crises.
Perfect.
It's brilliant. Friday we've got Limmy coming on.
Fair enough.
Do you know who Limmy is?
He's the Scottish...
Oh, you do? Yes, yes. I like him.
...that was addicted to quack or something.
Yes, I like him. He's good. And
I think he seems like a nice bloke.
I think he's funny. I know he divides people, but I think he's funny. And then next week, we've got the lead singer from the Young Rascals coming on as well. So we got guests, and I'm going to try and book a few more guests, because I want to have a few more guests on. But, you know, it's still early days. I do wonder what this show is, and then I try not to think about it and just let it happen.
Honestly, Ian, I'm loving the show. I've listened to you for ages, and this is the best you have ever sounded.
I take that as a great compliment, Jessica, because I know you've been listening for ages, and I appreciate that. It's very kind of you. Thank you very much.
Bye then.
Ta-ta. Bye-bye. Hello, Jake.
Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, hip, hip.
How you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. Jessica's cheered me up because I like Jessica, and
she was nice, wasn't she?
She's nice. Yes, yes.
I found in a while ago. I think I caught the end of you talking about those credit card machines that you type in the little buttons.
The PIN Sentry. The PIN Sentry. What the hell is that?
Yeah, you type in six numbers, and then this code comes up, and you can log into your bank account. Is that right?
Well, I type in my PIN number, which is four numbers, and then an eight-digit code comes up that means you can log into your bank. How the hell does it work?
I don't know, but my boss. His uncle invented it, apparently.
Whoa, come on.
No.
You're kidding me.
No, but I kept it top secret. But he died, like, very recently. And he went to the funeral.
Oh, here we go. And, go on, here we go. Sorry, I should have known. All right, I'll step back from the microphone. Away you go. Off you go. Jake, over to you.
No, I've got no more than that, because I think it might be, like, you know, like, top secret. They're not going to release this stuff because everyone will be just, you know, taking your money, you'll be taking my money. But he lost his mind. It was obviously such a good invention that he lost his mind, like, at the age of 50 and was in a care home for a long time, because it was, you know, that's obviously one of the cleverest things that's ever been done.
I'm waiting for the punchline about how they couldn't get that they couldn't get access to the coffin or something. The steady on.
We could have
let that go, but I've dumped it. This is a yellow card, Jake. You potty mouth fool.
Yeah, sorry. First call, first swear, first
dump of the night. It's always good to get a dump out of the way. So his your boss's uncle.
Yes.
Invented the pin sentry.
I think he was one of three people that invented it. And it was such a big undertaking.
That it blew his mind.
It blew his mind. And also the fact they didn't patent it, so they made no money from it. That's terrifying, isn't it?
I don't. But I wonder if the greatest inventors... You know Darwin's theory of evolution?
Yeah, vaguely.
Was it Darwin? Was it Darwin? I've said it out loud. It doesn't sound right.
It must have been, yes.
Yeah, Darwin. Charles Darwin.
Of course it is.
He nicked that.
From who?
I can't remember the name of the guy. I listened to it on the radio the other day. He nicked it. The bloke that invented televisions, Logie Baird, he nicked that from someone else. I think Edison nicked electricity from someone.
They all nicked it from gold.
Someone had a much cheaper, safer form of electricity that you could wire houses up with. And Edison's was really, really expensive and quite dangerous. But they went with his.
Capitalism, my friend.
You see? Do you see?
Yes.
You can't trust anybody these days, Jake. You can't trust anybody. Thank you very much for that. He did. Thank you, David, my producer. Jake, he nicked it from Tesla, some bloke called Tesla.
Tesla, the bloke who's in the Eiffel Tower in that film with George Clooney.
Mm.
Have you seen that, where they turn the Eiffel Tower into a rocket and they fire off into space?
No, I have not, but it sounds awesome. Why didn't I think of that?
Yeah, there's like, they go to the Eiffel Tower and there's like a statue of Tesla.
Yes, who invented, like electricity and batteries or something.
Yeah, I think there's Edison, there's Dr. Eiffel. What's his name? It's obviously not his name.
Steve Eiffel.
Something Eiffel.
Steve Eiffel. Yeah.
And someone else. And they turn it and they go back in time. Or no, they go into the future, sorry.
Well, dude, what the hell is this film? It sounds awesome.
It's called Tomorrowland.
Tomorrowland?
Yeah, George Clooney and some young girl. And she gets like a badge and she touches it. And when she touches it, she goes into the future.
Hang on a minute. Well, it's not come up on... Tomorrowland. Hang on a second. This could be a real film. Yes. Action, adventure, family.
Please say it's real, because if I've made this up, I'm in trouble.
Bound by a shared destiny, a teen bursting with scientific curiosity and a former boy genius inventor embark on a mission to unearth the secrets of a place somewhere in time and space that exists in their collective memory. I'm gonna see if I can buy that for a penny off of Amazon.
If you pay a penny, you've overcharged.
Jake, thank you very much indeed. 0844-499-1000.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Yes, Kyle.
Evening, you all right?
Evening, Kyle. What you got for us?
Well, do you know, I rang up originally to continue a Twitter argument with Gatford, but he's gone.
He's long gone.
He's gone.
What was your beef with Gatford?
I don't know. He just put on Twitter this morning that he wanted to fight with somebody, so I took the challenge.
Well, I'd love to punch a man. I mean, really, properly.
What, Gatford?
No, but I'd love to know what it feels like. I've often fantasized is too strong a word, but I've often wondered what it would be like with all my might and without gloves on, with bare knuckle, to punch a man with all of the force I could muster. And it would take three punches because the first two I wouldn't be able to do it, but by the third one, I'd be angry.
Why would you be angry?
because the first two hadn't gone as I liked. One of the great... Here's one... When I used to work at LBC, and I had a producer called Agent Chris, and if the show wasn't very good, the way I would get him to energise me, right, and this is still one of my favourite things, I won't let Dave, the producer, do it now, because he's a big lad, but is... Although I could take it. Is for someone... You know when they punch you and give you a dead arm? Here. They punch you there. I'd get him to give me a dead arm. Because it's weird, right? Dead arm, if it's done properly, right, and they've got to be a good aim, right, because if they miss and get you in the chest or something, it hurts. A dead arm doesn't actually hurt that much. It's just a very... It's like a Chinese burn. Chinese burn doesn't hurt. But it's a very satisfying feeling of just having a dead arm. And it makes you feel alive.
I reckon Kath could do that to you, and I reckon you...
Kath has done it. No, Kath has done it. And when I used to work at the other place, me and Kelly used to give each other dead arms, and then I get told off for hitting her because she was only 5 foot one. She asked me to.
Nah, Kelly wouldn't go for that.
Yeah, she would. I had a terrible thing. I was in... I've had 3 cups of coffee today, which is bad form. And I had one before the show, and it was in Cafe Nero, and there were these two girls, and they recognised me, right, from... I don't know, I'm guessing from Big Brother. They recognised me. And they were giggling at me, right? And I moved from one seat to another because a comfy seat came up and I just wanted to sit and read. And I moved in, like, and it was really awkward, and I'm picking up my bag and I was dropping stuff and they were giggling, right? And then I was sat there thinking, I hope they go away because I don't want them to watch me walking out, right? Because I'd be really self-conscious. But then I got a dead leg, right? And I had to go. I had to come into work and I had a dead leg. And I was thinking, oh, no, they're going to watch me kind of shuffling along with a dead leg. And they're going to think I look ridiculous. I managed to walk kind of normal. And then I got to the door and I was pulling the door and it wasn't opening because it was a push door, wasn't it? It was a push, not a pull. So I looked like a Muppet.
Oh, you don't want to do that.
These things happen. Never mind.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah, I did it.
I was going to ask you. For some advice. Is that all right?
Yeah, go on.
Well, it's a bit weird, and it's really weird doing it on national radio.
Yeah.
But what do you do? Two questions for you. What do you do if, one, you're about to be imminently fired from your job?
Well, do you know? Who have you spoken to? Have you seen Rupert? What has he said?
Well, no, apparently you're going and I'm going.
Hey.
And also, what happens if you fall in love with somebody you're not supposed to quote the classic song?
Well, that's not quoting. What song is that quoting?
I paraphrase. It's
to paraphrase the famous song, not to quote it. Okay, first things first. You know you're going to lose your job, do you?
I would imagine it's imminent in 13 weeks, yeah.
Take a dump on the boss's table.
Does that work?
Yeah, well, you're going to lose your job, so you might as well take a poo on his table. Enjoy yourself. Oh. Enjoy yourself.
Solids or...?
Yeah, just take a dump on his table. Just get up there while he's in there having a meeting and do it.
Right, okay. No, good advice. Okay.
The second thing, love's fair arrow strikes again in a place where it's not meant to. I don't know, mate. You're screwed.
Oh, well, you're supposed to help me.
I did, mate. You're absolutely screwed. Dan's on the line. Good evening, Dan.
Good evening. Hello.
Hello, Dan. What you got for us?
You sound quite liberated tonight.
Expand.
You were able to talk about your opinions on Brexit. Particularly the frog-faced loon.
Yes.
What's it like to be liberated like that? Because you were quite hamstrung, weren't you, for, 6 months now?
Well, no, I wasn't hamstrung. I didn't want to talk about it. So,
To be able to talk about it and actually give an opinion.
Well, I was able to talk about it. It wasn't 6 months. It's not Purdah. It's not called Purdah, is it, when it was the referendum? Because it's not an election. But whatever the word is, it didn't last 6 months. I think it only lasted, didn't it last 3 months, maybe 4 months?
Or about 4 months, yeah. But you wouldn't have been able to say that these people were idiots and tossers. You would actually have to find a reason to say that.
But I would have. Up until that period was declared, I would have been able to say that. I just chose not to say.
Yeah.
I would have been able to say it while this station has been on air. I just chose not to.
That's quite interesting. Also, you know, since Kath and Ed were sacked,
yes,
your new producers are quite good. I've been on hold a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, one of them actually came on the line and said, sorry for the wait, Dan, are you okay to keep holding?
There we go, you see. That is professional. That's David who's done that. He's excellent. He's got his teeth are too good, but don't worry, we can sort that out. He's talented, he's handsome, he's tall, he's buff. He's everything you'd want from a male producer, Dan.
Exactly, and you've been without a male producer for so long. You know, I think you are better off without Kath.
I haven't had a male producer as a permanent fixture for... Well, Davis was the last one, and he was...
It was absolute, wasn't it? Early absolute.
Yeah, so 6-7 years ago. And, I mean, we didn't get on particularly well, me and Davis, it has to be said. It was my list of my top 10 favourite producers, bearing in mind I've only had 8, he comes in at 11. So it was a tough time.
When are we going to get Eloise on? She's posh now.
She is posh. Do you know, I haven't spoken to her for ages. We text each other. I'll send her a little text after the show tonight. She doesn't want to come on.
Ah, and what about Kelly?
She doesn't want to come on either. We tried to get her on last week. For those who don't know, these are people that I've worked with in other lives, and I'm still kind of... I still text them from time to time. They don't want to come on. They don't want to know.
Is Dealey allowed on?
Dealey, we'll get Dealey on one night. I'm sure we will.
He'd be very good on this station.
He'd be good on this station, but he loves working for BBC Three Counties Radio. So it's weird, because I said I had this dream last night. I was back at school, and one of the teachers was the woman who shafted me at BBC Three Counties. And I remember I gave her a real piece of my mind.
Evans, that was it. I've been on hold that long.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Talking about breakfast show hosts that have got sacked over the years. Evans, I think he was always going to quit after one series.
Is he staying for the... Is he seeing the whole series of Top Gear out?
It's done. It finished last night. That was it.
But it only lasted about 6 weeks.
It was exactly 6 weeks. It was going to be 8, got cut back to 6.
Flipping heck!
But before it started broadcasting, it wasn't cut back. It was a few months ago. They said it's only going to be 6 instead of 8.
Blimey!
I thought he took it on because he was, I suppose you'd say, a useful idiot, because... He's bulletproof in terms of his ratings.
Yep.
If Top Gear fails, which it was always going to, because a certain crowd want Clarkson and his meat, but, you know, whoever took over, Poison Chalice. So let's put somebody in who can afford to not run the franchise into the ground, but can take a big old risk with his own career without actually risking anything.
Someone tweeted something excellent today. The BBC think Top Gear is a programme about cars. It's not. It was a programme about Clark, May and Hammond.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. That's what Top Gear was. It's not about cars. It's about those three blokes driving around and being politically incorrect and saying stuff that we're not allowed to say anymore and being obnoxious racists. That's what the show was.
But they couldn't dump the show. They had to dump Clarkson, and they had no choice. Yes. They didn't want to, obviously, but they had to. So let's relaunch the show in the mould that, strictly speaking, it officially is.
Yeah.
And let's have somebody who will quit after a series with no effect to his career.
LeBlanc? Is LeBlanc going to be doing it next series? Or are they all bailing?
I say so. I think he was parachuted in as just to send it a bit to America, but he's very good.
Oh, well, there you go. I shall watch it. Yes?
It's not Dan.
What do you mean it's not Dan? Who is this, then?
It's Noel Edmonds again, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, seriously, this is getting beyond a joke, mate. Can you stop it?
I know, it stopped being funny about 3 seconds into the first call, didn't it?
No, it stopped being funny in 1978. Can you stop doing your prank calls, Noel, please?
I'm never going to stop. Not until I have bought the BBC and launched my 21st iPod Shuffle radio station.
I'm going to find you first, Noel, and I'm going to punch you in the nose.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yes, Bruce, good evening.
Hip hop hip.
Hip hop hippity hop.
How are we doing, sir?
Yeah, good, thank you, mate. What you got for us?
Good, good, good. Well, first of all, I feel a bit bad saying it now after the last caller, but I've got to agree, these new producers you've got, they're top.
Yep,
they're really good.
They are tip-toppity-tippity-top-tops. Yes, they certainly are. Well, this is why Murdoch is so powerful, because Murdoch picks the best, and he's certainly picked the best in. It's a real pleasure to be working with these guys.
Yes, I can completely understand. I've seen The Imposter. It's very good.
Yeah. This is everyone's homework for Film Rig. I'm hoping we're going to do it next Monday. I'm just waiting back from Charlie Parker, the private eye in the movie, to make sure he can do next Monday. But go and watch The Impostor. It's on YouTube. I've just tweeted a link to it on Vimeo, so you can watch it for free. It's a brilliant documentary. Did you enjoy it?
I did. I mean, to be fair, I'll watch it again, because it's been about 2 or 3 years since I watched it.
Yeah.
But some documentaries are just completely gripping from start to finish, and this is one of them. Even though it was probably a little bit predictable in some ways, didn't stop it being as captivating as it was.
Did you find it predictable? Every corner, my mind was and this is the joy of Film Ring, right? Because we're not all good. When I tweeted I was going to do it, I had some people go, oh, brilliant, and some people going, oh, that film's rubbish. So this is the joy of it. There is no right or wrong answer. But I found every corner of it completely blew my mind.
Oh, when I say that, I mean, the outcome I could kind of see coming 100 miles. But, yeah, absolutely, the twists and turns... I didn't see all of those coming, just the kind of final outcome, really.
Yeah.
But no, brilliant documentary. You talked about Lenny Henry earlier.
Yes.
And it reminded me, because we're too young to talk about where we were when we heard JFK got shot.
Yes.
Or where Elvis died.
Where were you when you heard Lenny Henry had made a film where he whites up? Is that what you're going to say?
No. Where were you when you found out Lenny Henry was no longer funny? Because I think it was just after Chef.
I think it was Chef was a drama, wasn't it?
It was a kind of comedy drama. It was a time when they were just starting down that route.
Do you remember they used to use a word, a dramedy? Do you remember that? Yeah. Dramedy. It's a cross between a drama and a comedy. So if people don't laugh too much, they can go, oh, it's drama. And if they do laugh, go, oh, yeah, it's comedy, dramedy. I think it was before then. The last funny thing I remember him doing was the Delbert Wilkins radio show, where he was Delbert Wilkins. I went to see it being filmed once, and I loved it. It was Delbert Wilkins, and he had a pirate radio station in the back of, I think, in the back of a cafe.
Okay.
I think. And I must have been, that must have been 1980... 1983 was that? God, I'm scratching the back of my memory there with that one.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I mean, I remember him being funny towards the late 80s, but that was really about it. But, somebody who I remember being really, really funny, and it's just gone the biggest downward spiral.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd ever describe Lenny at any point in his career as really, really funny. I mean... Okay, that was funny, but I was 9, you know, and anybody doing silly voices, long drawn out words is funny. Theopolis P. Wildebeest was never funny. That was always just awful. I mean, he was funny in Three of a Kind.
And Tiz Was.
I wasn't allowed to watch Tiz Was.
Ah, he was BBC. Yeah,
we had to watch Swap Shop.
Yeah,
middle class. We're working class, but my mum had aspirations for us to be middle class. You see, so that's why. But I don't think I've never quite got. Excuse me, I've never quite got the Lenny Henry thing. To be honest,
no, I think he's a bit overrated. You mentioned
Sir Lenny, Sir Lenny Henry to you now, boy, Sir Lenny Henry.
Oh, he's not like a Sir Ben Kingsley, is he?
Yeah, he's Sir Lenny Henry now.
Do you know, have you ever heard about, I know people that work with Ben Kingsley, and you can't call him Ben. He says, my name is 3 letters, and it's...
Oh, flipping heck.
Yeah.
Don't surprise me.
Film sets. I don't know about elsewhere. At the top of the show,
Ben! Oi! Ben! Do your gandy! Go on! My name is Sir. All right, go on, Sir. Do your gandy, Sir. Go on! Let's have your gandy!
To be fair, I heard that story on the set of Thunderbirds, and I wonder if you're probably a bit nuts.
Yes, well, you know. Bless him.
Did you mention earlier you wanted to talk about Batman?
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you why, right? Because, again, I made two impulse purchases in the coffee shop tonight, right? One, they were playing Half a World Away by Oasis, so I bought Oasis The Master Plan for 19 pence. Then there was a group of girls. There were 4 girls, and they were no older than 10. They were there with their dad. And they started singing, Batman. And I thought, ooh. And I remembered that about last year or 2 years ago, Batman came out on Blu-ray, right? And it was about 150 quid. Mm. And I thought, oh, I'm going to have a little look. I'm going to see if they've reduced the price. And they hadn't. The deluxe set with all the extras and the toy car and all of that stuff is still 150 quid. But. You can buy all of the episodes, right, for 32 quid on Blu-ray. On Blu-ray. Now, there is a downside, right? It's on Amazon UK. It's an Italian release. So the box is in Italian. But according to all of the reviews, the menus and all the episodes are in English. It's just the box that's in Italian. I thought, beautiful. 32 quid, right, including postage. So I bought that. And I was thinking, I wonder if, because the boys know Batman from the cartoons. They don't know it from anything else. And I'm wondering if the boys will dig Batman from 1966 to 1968. Now, also this month, coming very soon, oh, I can't wait, I've got the Monkees remastered episodes on Blu-ray coming. So it's two things from the same era. And I'm just wondering, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to enjoy Batman, I'm going to whack it on, right? And I wonder if the boys will get it, or if they'll think it's too hokey. Well, it was always too hokey. We always thought it was too hokey.
I don't, because I mean, the thing is, it was a very strange time for me because I remember watching Batman in the 80s, early 80s.
Yeah.
And so that was my first exposure. And then 89, we had Tim Burton's Batman.
Yeah.
But you know what? And I think maybe it could have been down to my age. I was probably about eight at the time, something like that. But I found both to be enjoyable in their own ways.
Yeah.
And to be honest, even watching, because one of the ITV channels shows Batman nowadays, and obviously a few years ago, and even catching the odd episode, still found myself quite drawn into it.
Yeah.
It's a different way of doing Batman, but I don't think it stops it being enjoyable.
I remember, makes sense. And also, let's be honest, Julie Newmar as the original Catwoman... Flipping heck, man. I mean, I don't like this show being dragged down to the gutter, but flipping heck, Julie Newmar in that outfit. Oh, God. I mean, I became a man watching her.
You know, it's funny because I didn't really... I think when I was watching Batman, I was probably a bit too young for that. But when Batman Returns came out, Michelle Pfeiffer was, I think, my first proper... crush in that way.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's quite funny that we're talking about two different Catwomen from two different eras.
The
impact was the same.
I was too young, because in the series there had loads of different people play Catwoman. There's Julie Newmar, there was Eartha Kitt. Did Joan Collins play Catwoman in the series once?
I want to say she played Cleopatra, but maybe that was completely it. Wrong.
But there was a third, I'm sure there was a third Catwoman, also Batgirl. I was too young for Catwoman, but it stirred something within me. And Julie Newmar is just, I mean, wow, what a stunning woman she was, guys. Wowzers.
Oh, absolutely.
What a woman.
One quick thing before go, because I know I'm taking up a lot of time. I would listen to the unknown stuntman earlier.
Yes, yes.
And the first line of the song is it Rumours About... Farrah?
I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah.
That's it. You know what? It was only tonight, and I've heard that song so many times, but it was only tonight I thought, hang on, at the time of him recording that song, they were married, weren't they?
Yes, they were, ladies and gentlemen,
I just saw, good, I just saw it as she was a hot woman of that time. But of course, I forgot they were actually a couple.
Here we go. This is a phone-in for the next hour. People who have sung songs about their wives. Bonus point if they actually mention the wife's name in the song. Something by George Harrison is about Patty Boyd, who is his wife, Wonderful Tonight by Eric Clapton was about his wife, Patty Boyd.
Yes. Yeah,
but any true, songs where they mention the wife's name, we'll put it out there, Bruce. 0844 499 1000 is the phone number. Claire.
Hello. You just stipulated that they had to mention the name, and The Cure officials of you doesn't mention her name, but it's definitely about his wife.
Well, I'm saying you get a bonus point if the name is mentioned in there.
I don't think it is.
taking your speakerphone now.
There we go, thank you.
You caught me without my list. I was a lot less anxious when I had my list in front of me, because I've been, trying to gather the courage to call you for ages. And you said something earlier that resonated with me.
Yes. Was it that Nigel Farage is a cowardly tosser? Was it that?
Well, obviously, you know, yes. There is that. But, no, I'm not very good at politics. Shh, okay. Don't talk about that.
No,
it was actually about being depressed. But, yes. Obviously, you know, you get these clunky gear changes, and I love that about your show. But you were talking about it earlier.
Yes.
And it put a bee in my bonnet. I love that song, by They Might Be Giants, and it all ties in with the fact that when you're really depressed, right, it's impossible to get out of bed some days.
Yeah.
Like, it's just impossible.
Yeah.
And it's got worse and worse and worse for me. And recently, the only thing that I can get out of bed for is called roller derby. You remember us, guys?
Oh, for crying out loud, you're that blooming roller derby nut woman.
No, I'm a different one, but I am one of them ones.
Oh, for goodness
sakes. What I wanted to tell you is that I do suffer, and I've never been good at anything ever before. Like you on the radio, you found what you're good at.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's what you can get out of bed for.
Yeah.
And, roller derby.
But I still don't get this roller derby, Claire, because I've watched the videos of it, right? And it's just you knocking seven bells of whatever out of each other, isn't it?
I could try and explain it really quickly because I'm head of coaching this year, so I should be able to do this.
Explain it.
I'm the ball. I wear a star on my head, and what I do, it's like rugby. I draw out their defenders, and I make them leave gaps in their defence, and I run through it, and I score points as I do that. And my blockers help me to do that whilst they're defending the opposing jammer. That's what we're called.
I'm a bad man, a jammer. So
there are some amazing songs about roller derby. Roller Derby Girl, I think it's called. Check it out. Yeah, yeah. I don't do Twitter, so I can't tweet you links. And I know you don't look.
I don't click links.
Well, this is the thing. You see, I don't even have a Twitter. Well, I do, but I don't have the app for it, so I rarely
good
look at that.
Good for you. Who sings Roller Derby Girl then?
I'd love to be able to tell you. It's on my playlist, but I can't tell you when I can't look at it while I'm talking to you.
Wow.
Kung Fu Elliot, Revelation. Yeah. I was watching it alone when I did call porn early on because you kind of recognise the scene set up, right?
Yes.
But then I was like, well, actually, you know, I saw her face and the anger, and so either she's a really good actress or,
We are going to have in August. One Sunday night, we're going to have a night where we hire a little cinema or a little room, and we're going to invite people to come along and sell tickets, and we're going to show outtakes from Kung Fu Elliot. We're going to show They Killed My Cat, and we're going to have a live Q&A with the directors.
There may well be a couple of roller derby girls at that.
Brilliant.
Yeah, we're quite interested.
Brilliant.
We've definitely definitely enjoyed that. There's a couple of other things I just wanted to say.
You've got 20 seconds.
Matter of Life and Death. Everybody go home and watch that. The David Niven film everyone was talking about.
Beautiful.
If you haven't seen it, I swear to God. And Adam Buxton and Scroobius Phipps podcast. If I hadn't listened to yours, I wouldn't have listened to theirs. Thank you very much.
Claire, thank you very much indeed. Of course, we've just been reminded by Oh Yoko by John Lennon is a song about his missus, and he mentions her name in it. 0844 499 1000.
Talk Radio.
Now is an excellent time to call because Straight to Air has gone for a while anyway. So Sam, stay there. 0844 499 1000. That's it. I knew there were some more numbers at the end. Is the phone number? I'm Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio, and we'll talk after the news.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
08444991000. So, no more straight to air. At least not for a while. And I think that's the way to go. You can have too much of a good thing. And I was relying on it a little bit too much to kind of... By getting rid of straight to air, I have to work a little bit harder, you see? And I need to work a little bit harder to up my game. So, if you give us a call now, 08444991000, you will speak to Dave and he will take your number and he will call you back. Sam's on the line. Yes, Sam?
Hello, you okay?
Yeah, I'm good, Sam. What you got for us?
Couple of things. The first thing is Dave is fantastic. He's pretty decent.
Yeah, decent. Down to earth.
Yep, as my tweet said, Murdoch done good. I never thought I'd say that, but I just did. A while ago, on the show, you were talking about Nigel Farage. And again, as my tweet said, I just want to say, thank you for saying that, because it kind of spoke everyone's mind, a lot of people's minds.
Hang on a minute. I didn't speak everyone's mind at all, because there's a lot of people that don't see him for the obnoxious fascist racist that he obviously is. They see him as a man who speaks for the common man, who says what we're all thinking, and has achieved something great. He's not. He's not achieved anything great. He's completely screwed up this entire country, and then he's ran off because he doesn't want anything to do with it. Here's the thing. I bet he's done a deal with one of the Tory leader hopefuls. I don't know which one. I can't work out which one. It won't be Stephen Crabbe. It won't be Stephen Crabbe, because Crabbe hasn't got a chance, right? Because he's a horrible, obnoxious homophobe who thinks that gay people can be cured. Stephen Crabbe, you voted against gay marriage. All right, that's one thing. That's one tiny bigoted thing. He thinks gays can be cured. All right, Steve. All right, big Steve and your weird Lego beard. So it's got to be... Farage must have done a deal with one of the people that stands a good chance of winning. And that's only May. And I know it sounds a bit weird and a bit left of centre, but I think Farage might have done a deal with Theresa May.
Could be. You never know.
You never know. For a little bit of something. There's more going on than meets the eye, right? None of these people do anything unless it will benefit them. And for Farage to step down... And by the way, Boris Johnson ain't going to stand for Prime Minister now. He ain't going to stand for it now. He will do one day. You mark my words. One day, when whoever wins this, and it's going to be Theresa May, when she eventually gets voted out by a general election, which will happen, maybe not the next general election, but the one after, that's when Johnson will then come in with his blundering horse and will try to take over the party. He ain't gone. Johnson ain't gone. It just ain't in his interest to run for Prime Minister now.
He's planning, figuring it all out.
He's planning it because he's a slimy little so-and-so.
The caller called before the news, the roller derby girl.
Yes.
The person.
Yes.
I'm not depressed right now, but obviously I've gone through terrible times and horrible feelings and stuff. And, YouTube has been the one thing for me personally that has kept me not going alive or whatever, but it's one thing that I put all my effort into, and I wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh, I'm going to do a video today. But recently, my mental health has kind of not spiraled out of control, obviously, but I've got confidence to do this. But I watched Orange is the New Black, which is fantastic, but I watched 4 seasons in 4 days.
You binge watch that whole thing, blimey!
I know. Yes. And it's like all that time, laying in bed just watching it, and not really having much of a social life. Well, I haven't got one anyway. but that's kind of completely killed my motivation to do anything. And it's weird because I'm like 500 subscribers away from 10,000 subscribers, which is a massive, massive like milestone.
Yeah. Yeah.
But obviously, not having any motivation terrifies me because I'm like, you know, I should just go for it and make decent videos. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is, what do you do when you have a creative block? Or...
I don't know. Well, a creative block is different from having no motivation to get out of bed.
Yeah, I get you there. Yeah.
The thing is, I can't. The thing is with me, in terms of creative block, and let's focus on that as opposed to, you know, not being able to see any light in the world because you're so depressed you want to jump off a tall building, which I have had. I can't. If I have a creative block, it's tough because I have to come in and do. I have to perform and create for 3 hours a day. So if I have a block, I have to. I have to revert to a kind of. I kind of have a template. I kind of have a default robot mode, right, where I can do a 3 hour show easily. Might not be any good, but I can do it. And that's what I have to revert to. So I have to perform like a monkey, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. Otherwise, I don't get paid.
Yeah.
I mean, so, in terms of creative blocks, I don't know. I don't know because I'm in a blessed stroke cursed position where I can't have a creative block, or if I do, I have to fake it to make it. There you go, fake it to make it. That's what you need to do. That's what a suggestion.
I remember that.
Fake it to make it.
It's strange because obviously, like, I haven't got a routine when it comes to videos. I make a video whenever I want, and this week I've made a pledge to myself and my subscribers that I will do a video every day for a week about starting on YouTube because it'll give me pride and pleasure knowing that I've inspired people to do something that they might enjoy in the future and connect other people with like a sort of butterfly effect, a kind of like dominoes kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I just want to like, if there's people out there who are struggling, find your thing and, you know, whether it's drawing, whether it's talking to a camera for 5 minutes and then editing it, whatever. You know.
Well, I always add the caveat when you say that, you say that to people. If that's right for you, because for some people, hearing that, and I know this is now you intending it, but I just want to take the pressure off anybody. Some people hearing that find your thing. I'm really trying not to say you should do this, you should do that, because
you
shouldn't. And I'm not talking to you personally. I'm talking to, you know, the invisible person family. You shouldn't do anything, but you know, apart from what feels groovy for you. And to say to some people, well, you should try and find the thing that makes you feel this or makes you feel that.
It's a little bit.
If it, and I'm not, this isn't a criticism at all. I'm just, it isn't like that. And some people might feel guilty that they haven't found the thing that they can do because maybe there isn't a creative thing that they can do. Maybe there isn't. And maybe it isn't right for them, you know. So everybody, you know, no one should do anything, you know, just, you know, be groovy, man, be groovy.
Yeah.
Sam, thank you for that. I want to go to Kat. Hello, Kat.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello, Kat.
How
are
you?
Put that down. Put whatever it was you were holding down and and click it shut and focus. I'm all right. My friend Paul Garner has just mentioned crispy Peking duck on Twitter, and now it's got me... What on earth are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm getting ready for bed.
Oh, I say.
Oh, nothing so exciting.
Oh, sounds like you're taking your wooden leg off. Have you got a wooden leg?
Yes.
what do they make legs out of these days? Because it was for a while it was cork, then it was wood.
Plastic, isn't it?
Is it plastic? It's plastic, I suppose, yeah. They're good, those legs. Anyway, yes, go on, Kat. What have you got for us?
I've just been to see The Conjuring 2.
Oh, the Enfield ghost, isn't it?
Yeah, we've watched the documentary on it, me and Dan.
Now, you say the documentary. You don't mean the thing with Timothy Spall, do you?
Yes, the documentary. It was Timothy Spall, yeah. And we watched, like, a documentary on it as well.
Oh, okay.
Loads of stuff.
Yeah. It's good. It's in the front of my head because I just finished reading for the second time Will Storr versus the Supernatural, where he, Will, who came on the show a few weeks ago, he talks about, he investigates the Enfield haunting, and he goes and meets Janet, isn't it? It's Janet is the young girl.
Yes, yeah.
He goes and meets Janet and the investigator, whose name is Maurice Gross, I think. Okay, first of all, what do you make of The Conjuring 2, the Hollywood recreation of the North London haunting?
It was okay. I like Vera Farmiga anyway. She's absolutely gorgeous, so I wanted to watch her anyway. But I went with a friend who's already seen it, and it ruined it a little bit, because every time she sort of tensed up, I thought, something's going to happen.
Right.
But it was all right. A bit jumpy in parts, but a lady in front of us completely freaked out.
Would you be freaked out? What, really?
Yes. Yeah, oh,
someone got freaked out. Someone was crying when I went to see Paranormal Activity.
Oh, for God's sake.
And it was rubbish. That film is only scary if you like looking at the screen for a long time when nothing happens apart from a door moving 4 inches. That's all that happened. And there was a screamer at Blooming The Conjuring 2, was there?
There was. She was really freaking out. She was literally just in front of us. Me and my friend, I mean, we were terrible because we were laughing our heads off. And everybody else was sort of going, shh, so we were like, sorry.
Oh, for crying out loud. Okay, now, the Enfield haunting, right?
Yeah.
So for those who don't know, 1977, something like that, terraced house in North London, Enfield, I know it fairly well. A mum... Two kids, I think, a daughter and a son, or maybe two daughters and a son.
Two daughters and two sons.
Two daughters, two sons. And for several months, there was poltergeist activity going on. What do you reckon, Kat? Do you buy it?
No. They were sort of, towards the end of the film, they were playing your original recordings and stuff.
And... I'm Bill. Bill. I'm going to poo down your neck.
This is it. I mean, nothing was really... graphic. Yeah. It was just sort of, I thought, it's just a kid trying to get away with saying naughty words.
Yeah. So you don't buy it at all?
No, not that in particular, but I've had family who have seen stuff and they're not the type of people to just say that.
The Enfield haunting is fascinating, and I want to read up on it again, because there were bits where the kid Janet, so she's like 13 years old. She's just reaching puberty, as often happens, is often the case in these poltergeist things.
Yeah,
and she can levitate.
Yeah,
but she can only levitate when everybody goes out of the room.
That's right, and she could only do the voice thing when everybody turned around
because
she put the water in her mouth.
Yeah,
and there was quite a funny skeptic in the film, and she was like. Well, she could have spat it out and put some more in her mouth. Duh.
Yeah.
So that was quite funny.
Yeah, and but then there is recorded. There's a police woman who says she saw a chair get thrown across the room at her, and there was no one there.
Yeah, there were in the film. There were two, a policewoman and a policeman, and they both saw it just moving across the floor. And they did, like, a statement on it and everything, apparently.
I'm starting to, having read Will Storr versus the Supernatural, and I thoroughly recommend it to anyone, right? I'm starting to change my position on ghosts ever so slightly.
Yeah?
Well, actually, quite significantly, because I've always been a nah. Nah. But Will investigates it. I've got to go to a break in a minute. Will investigates it in such an interesting, sceptical way... that I'm starting to think that maybe there's something in ghosts. Maybe.
I mean, there probably is something. Like I said, we had my nan passed away now, but she had an old-fashioned stove where you had to put the kettle on top of the stove to heat it.
Yeah.
And the kettle moved and put itself on the floor, and she swore blind to the, you know... Up until the day she died, that happened. And she was, like, not the type of person to say that would happen and when it didn't. And she was absolutely terrified. She moved house and everything.
Yeah. Kat, thank you for that. You give me a lot to think about. And I've been meeting with that for a while. Thank you very much indeed. Jerry, stay there. Come to you in a second. It could be your turn soon, dear listener. 0844 499 1000. Straight to air has gone, I'm afraid, guys. I have taken the football and I have stabbed it with a very sharp knife. So if you call up now, you speak to Dave and he'll give you a call back. 0844 499 1000.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
So, straight to air has gone. I nearly called it Triple M then. I've not called it that for years. You can give us a call, though. 0844 499 1000 is the phone number. We call you back. What have we been talking about tonight? Farage and Johnson being slimy little self-serving tow rags. I bet you... Stay there, Jerry. Come to you in a second. I bet you Farage has done a deal with... Theresa May, would it be her, really? It's so left field that he would do a deal with her that it could be possible. The thing is, right, in politics now, anything is possible. Literally anything is possible. It's all gone completely nuts. But that slimy little tow rag will be back. They'll give him a show on LBC. That's what they'll do. He'll be on there doing weekends. Once they realise that Pass the Parcel with Andrew Castle is not drawing in the listeners because that man has got zero personality, they'll get Farage in. Give me a call and tell me about your parking tickets and the nationality of the person that gave it to you. 0844 499 1000 is the phone number. We've spoken about Batman, about Oasis, about time travel and how it is imminently possible. Let's see what Jerry's called in for. Good evening, Jerry.
Hello.
Hello, mate. How are you doing?
Okay, bit off, but over. I've got some facts about Batman.
Give us some facts about Batman.
Yeah, in the trilogy, the latest trilogy.
Yes.
The dude who plays his father.
Yes.
Ken Barlow's son.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Roach.
Linus Roach.
Linus Roach. I have worked with Linus Roach in a film.
Did you?
Yes, I did, in the straight-to-DVD film Beyond Borders, starring Linus Roach and Angelina Jolie. I don't know if there was a priest. I never got that far. I'm in the first 5 minutes. Clive Owen's in it, and in the first 5 minutes, I'm in it, and then I've never seen it beyond that. I was in New York once when it came out, and I went to watch it, and I saw my bit, and I got up and walked out.
Mm.
So Linus Roach, excellent, yes?
There's another Catwoman in the film.
There's a Catwoman. Hang on a minute. I'm struggling to understand you a bit tonight, Jerry. There's a cat weeing in the cupboard.
No, I wish there was.
Oh, blimey.
My cat
Velvet now lives, she kind of lives in the bedroom with me because we've got the dog, so she just kind of, she doesn't really go out very often anymore. And so we have a litter tray up in my, in the bedroom. And I don't know if you've ever heard a cat... Thank you, David. Here comes the mail. I don't know if you've ever heard a cat urinate, Jerry. And I've got a loud stream. Very, very loud.
Powerful.
Very... The spray, the force of urine from a cat is unlike anything else known to man. It's like... you know, Boris Johnson bought those water cannons. It sounds like one of those bad boys.
So nice of Farage. He's definitely on the move.
Yeah, exactly. Go on, what was the other thing?
I said there was another Catwoman from the film, in the Batman film.
There was Rocking Horse Poo was in the Batman film, did you say?
And that will open his British Metro Winston Brixton Broadcasting Corporation.
Say that again, Jerry. Your voice is a little bit all over the shop tonight. I'm so struggling.
Sorry,
no, don't apologise. It's not your fault you've got Parkinson's. But go on, say it again.
Albert Wilkins and the battery captain, his mate was called Winston. Brixton Broadcasting Corporation.
Oh, I see. Yes, of course, the Brixton Broadcasting Corporation. Of course it was, Delbert Wilkins. That was the last funny thing that Lenny Henry did, wasn't it?
It's on YouTube, not very funny.
Well, the thing is, everything's on YouTube these days. You can get any old rubbish.
I think it's BBC, you're in the store of past episodes where you can buy DVDs. The people in license pieces rip off.
Oh, hang on. Hang on a minute. You're not suggesting that the BBC, instead of selling DVDs, they give away their stuff?
Chris Evans, I don't know. I'm not right, I beg you. I'm getting a bit nuts. I'll speak to you tomorrow.
See you later on, Jerry. Ta-ta.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Jerry. Sometimes it's easy to understand Jerry some nights than it is other nights, and that's because he's got Parkinson's. But, he's always welcome. We'll get there in the end. Who was it? Someone messaged me the other day saying they didn't want to call because they got a stammer or a stutter. I can't remember which is the British and which is the American. And I said, well, I wouldn't worry about that. We've got all night. You know, we've got 3 hours to fill. So if that's it, and they decided they didn't want to call in, and that's fine and that's fair enough. But if you think that because of a that, you know, whatever, you've got a problem with your speech or something, that we don't want to hear you, think again, guys. Anybody can come on. We'll get there eventually. It might take a little bit longer, but we kind of get there eventually. 0844. Now we're into uncharted territory, dear listener. Now we're into the uncharted territory where there's no straight to air. So it's just me sat here for the next 30 minutes. We've done half an hour already with it, which is cool. But 30 minutes where we may not get any phone calls. It's all right, isn't it? Hey, that's all right, because I've got a stack of newspapers eventually. And we'll just sit and talk and see what happens. If you want to call in, someone's just asked on, what do they call the thing with the messages? Twitter. What are the topics? No, there's no topics. You can call in about anything you want to call in about. You know, Jerry there was giving us some random facts about Batman. And Linus Roach. Yes, the movie I made with Linus Roach was in, we filmed it in Canada, Montreal. It was a bloody awful film. I mean, absolutely awful. But Angelina Jolie was in it, and she made a point of coming over to me at one point. This was kind of her foray into serious movies. She was doing all the Tomb Raider stuff, and this was her serious movie. And she made a point of coming over to me, and I was talking to this old woman who was one of the extras, right, a French-Canadian, and I was talking, and I could see that Angelina Jolie was stood behind me wanting to talk to me, and I was just thinking, oh, shut up, hurry up, I want to turn and talk to Angelina Jolie, and if I don't turn quickly, she's going to go, because she's like a big star. And eventually I did a turn round and she went, I just want to say, Ian, I think what you're doing is really funny. And when I went to say goodnight to her at the end of the shooting, it was a night shoot, she kissed me on both cheeks. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much indeed. 0844 499 1000.
Late night conversation worth losing sleep over.
Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yeah, and Paul Garner is listening. Good evening, Paul. We should get you on one night, Paul, if you want to come on. He's a brilliant comedy writer. He used to write for me in the 11 o'clock show. He got fired from the 11 o'clock show for being too racist. Wow. But he's a brilliant writer. He's written for everybody. Jimmy Carr and Ali G and Ricky. And all. He's written for everybody, right? And he's brilliant. And he's also he's presented a couple of shows. Not presented, but he's been in a couple of shows. The pilot show, which if you've not seen, is just flipping wonderful, where basically they film pilots are when you film like a one-off show and then try and sell it to TV stations. And Garner did it. Stay there, CJ. Come to you in a second. Garner filmed loads of ridiculous pilot shows with celebrities like Dean Gaffney and people like that. And they didn't realise that what they were appearing in was absolute complete balls. And it's wonderful. It's hilarious. I wonder if that's on YouTube. I'll have to have a little look. And he's reminding me that he helped. In this Beyond Borders, in this film with Angelina Jolie, I was a stand-up comedian in 1984, I think it was. And he helped me write a stand-up comedy routine as though it was 1984. And one of the jokes was, Phil Collins is in a lot of trouble. It turns out that his drum solo in the Feed the World song translates as to I've just eaten a sodding grape pie, ha ha. Something like that. It was that kind of stuff. And Paul, thank you for helping start my film career. No straight to air tonight. 0844 499 1000. Call up and you'll speak to David. He'll call you back. Yes, CJ.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've only just started listening to the show, to be quite honest with you.
Oh, well, now, when you say just, do you mean like just the last couple of minutes or in the last...
Wednesday. Wednesday, first time I started listening to the show.
Oh, nice one. What do you make of it?
Well, the moment I tuned in was when you were doing Straight to Air.
Oh.
So I was sat here for a bit going, OK, this is confusing.
Yeah.
But then I thought, I'll listen again tomorrow. And yeah, it's fantastic. It's a great show.
Oh, nice one, CJ. What do you normally listen to? Are you a normal nighttime radio listener?
I used to listen to Talk Sport back in the old days. Well, when it was Talk Radio.
Oh, OK.
With,
So, what, James Whale or Ian Collins?
James Whale and Ian Collins, yeah. And the legendary Mike Dickin, of course.
You love Mike Dickin, of course, yes.
Oh, yeah, it's a fantastic presenter.
Yeah.
The reason I wanted to call in, I'm actually going on radio in Manchester on Thursday.
What are you doing on radio in Manchester on Thursday?
Well, I'm promoting a charity event that I'm doing in Stockport.
Oh, right.
And I was just wondering if you had any sort of tips to suggest to me about going on the radio, because I've not done it before. Well, until now.
You're doing it now, so...
I know, yeah. Call it a practice run, I suppose.
Are you going to actually go and sit in the studio and do it?
Yeah, go and sit in the studio.
It's easy. I mean, the thing is, it's easy. And what will happen, CJ, is you'll do it, and you'll be dreading it, and you'll be nervous, and then it'll be over like that. And you'll go, is that it? You know, and you could be in there. You could be in there for 20 minutes, half an hour, and they'll go, well, thanks very much for coming in. And coming up next, and you'll be thinking, is that it? It will fly by. The thing is, gosh, tips. I'm trying to remember back one of the first times I went in the studio. Just treat it as a chat.
Yeah.
Don't do absolutely. A radio. Don't, like, we're talking now, right? And if the host is any good, they will make you feel at ease. That's the host's job. Is to make you relax.
Interestingly, the host is a gay priest, so that's going to be an experience.
Well, are you going to have sex with him?
Well, if he asks.
Well, there you go. Well, the chance will be a fine thing. There you go. You see, you can have sex with him, and then you can ask him to forgive you for your sins of being homosexual. I'm joking, of course. Anyone who knows my career will know that I'm joking. Oh,
did you like my poster, by the way? I tweeted at you before.
Which poster?
It's the one with picture of you holding two logos in your hand.
Oh, was that you? Yes, I retweeted. That was about an hour ago or something, wasn't
it? Yeah.
Yeah, that was brilliant. Thank you for that. That was superb.
You were literally saying at the moment that I wish my advertising team did more for me in the two posters.
Well, you've done that.
All right, OK, there you go. Have that straight away.
CJ, let me go back to what you were talking about being a nighttime radio listener, because obviously the original talk radio ended, I don't know, years ago and became Talk Sport.
Yeah.
So what have you been listening to recently then?
Manchester Radio, mainly.
Who does late nights on Manchester Radio?
Oh, a chap called... I can't remember his name. Can't be that good if I can't remember his name.
Well, there you go, you see. Well, stick around, CJ. This is early days for this station. It only started in March.
I think it's fantastic. I think what you're doing is a great show. I mean, I literally stayed in on Friday night to listen to the show.
Oh, mate, well, that's one of the greatest compliments you can play. It's going to get better. It's still early days.
I did have an argument about talk radio in the taxi this afternoon, of course.
Oh, yeah, go on, why?
The taxi driver, I was asking what sort of radios he listened to, and he mentioned TalkSport, and he called it Talk, S-H-I-T-E, and I thought, wait, listen, mate, listen. It's a bit harsh, isn't it?
It's outrageous.
So I didn't tip him.
No, you did... I don't get the thing with tipping cab drivers. I don't get it, because it's cash in hand anyway, so a lot of them aren't declaring the fare that you give them unless you ask for a receipt. And even then they say, do you want to leave the receipt blank? Yeah, of course I do. I want to commit tax fraud. I'm joking, of course. But I don't understand. So the fare is like £8, and it's expected that you give them a tenner and say, keep the change. I don't want to give them two extra pounds. I want the... £8 is quite a lot of money. I want the £2 back.
Well, if the taxi driver helps you out, if he helps you get your shop into your front door, you can tip him for that. You know, things like that.
When has a taxi driver ever helped anybody get their shop into the front door?
Must be up north for you, then.
Maybe it is. It's up north. And maybe it's... I remember when we went to New York, like, years ago, and I took my mum, and she's in a wheelchair, right?
Oh, bless
and
her.
I've never had such helpful taxi drivers. In fact, we saw a limousine driver, right, saw us waiting for a yellow cab, right?
Blimey.
And he pulled up, and he said, I can see you waiting for a cab. Are you tourists? Said, yeah, from London. He said, right. Get in the back of the cab, and he helped Mum get in, and he put the wheelchair in the boot, and he took us to the place, and we said, right, how much is that? He said, oh, no, you can have that for free. Here's my card. If you need a cab when you're in New York, give us a call. He gave it to us. He gave it to us. He gave us a free... Right, we were in that car for about 20 minutes driving through New York. He gave it to us for free!
That's brilliant, isn't it?
It's
the same up here. You know, we've got some... there's a company around based in Stockport where I live, and they're very similar to that. They sort of do, if you're really stuck and something's happened, they will help you. They've helped me out a few times when I've been stuck, and then they took money off and said, no, you don't need to pay all that, I'll get you back.
And here's the thing, CJ, I don't know what your current state is, but there are some taxi drivers that will refuse to take guide dogs, that's illegal, and they'll refuse to take people in wheelchairs.
Where's the fairness in that?
Well, it's nuts, isn't it? It's illegal. Guide dogs can go anywhere, right? You can take guide dogs into restaurants, into hospitals, you can take them anywhere, right? Remember, because doing local radio, we did a thing about it. And, there are loads of guide dogs that refuse to take... there are loads of taxi drivers that refuse to take guide dogs. Outrageous. It's outrageous.
What about guide cats?
You can get guide ponies.
Guide ponies, but no guide cats.
You can't get guide cats because you can't trust cats. They're too self-serving. They're the Boris Johnsons of the animal world. But this is absolutely true. Google it. You can get guide ponies. And there is a picture. They're tiny little ponies, right? They're the size of a three-year-old child. And you can take them on, like, aeroplanes and stuff. That's actually true. David, the producer, is looking at me as if to say, why are you saying that? It's actually true. Guide ponies are real things.
I'm going to have to Google. Oh, also, you said before that there's no words to that song, Little Spanish Flea.
Yes.
I googled that, and there's a whole bloody lyrics to it, and songs, and tune, and everything to it. And I thought, what's going on here?
I wonder if those lyrics came afterwards. You know that there are lyrics to the Hawaii Five-O theme tune?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, I tell you what I do, CJ, keep listening, because we'll have a break and I'll play it. You can write lyrics to anything these days.
Late Night Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
If you get in trouble, bring it home to me. Whether I am near you or across the sea, I will think of something to do. Don't you let them get you up against the wall, 'cause I'll be there to catch you, and I won't let you fall. Call me if they hit you below. Call me when there's nowhere to go, and I'll be there. You can count on me.
You can count on me.
And if they all desert you and you start to bend, you know I won't let them hurt you, and I don't pretend. Don't call if you got nothing to say. Don't call me if you just want to play, but call me on Devil's Day. You can count on me.
You can count.
I'm just trying to message a woman in America because I got this record company, and this woman saying, can you sell me one of the records that you've got? And we've sold out. Well, can you sell? I've got 10 and I can't. No, can you? Guys, I can't help. Can't help you with that. 0844 499 1000. Sammy Davis Jr. literally just making up words to the Hawaii 5-0 theme tune. Isn't that nuts? 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. Game, set and flash. Ooh, I say. That's actually the headline in The Sun, which is the worst... which is the best newspaper in Britain today. Thank you, Mr Murdoch, sir. BBC revels in bum shots. This coming from The Sun, right, that all it is based on is bum and boob shots. And again, this is another one of those stories, right? 0844 499 1000 is the phone number. Another 15 minutes of the show before the two mics come on. So if you want to call, now would be an excellent time. But this is another one of those stories, I can tell just by glancing at it, that is made up by some no-mark journo who's just been on Twitter over the weekend. It's those stories that's made up just because someone tweeted something on Twitter. And I can tell that because they've got a little cut-out box of someone called Sue_Simmons, who's tweeted, "I think some shots are replayed in slow motion just for the knickers and buttocks." But let's read the story. Maybe we're doing them a great disservice. The BBC faced a Wimbledon backlash yesterday. By the way, has anybody celebrated the unsung heroes of Wimbledon, the ball boys and ball girls, yet? No? That happens normally about day three of week two, doesn't it? A big hurrah for the unsung heroes of Wimbledon, the ball boys and the ball... They're sung all the flipping time. They're constantly being sung, those guys. Stuff them, I say. Stuff the ball boys and the ball girls. Up theirs. Not literally, that would be completely inappropriate, but... the BBC faced a Wimbledon backlash yesterday. This is by Lucy Jones, who is the TV reporter. But this isn't reporting on TV. For focusing on knickers and bumps, angry tennis lovers slammed close-ups of women players' undies and accused the Biebs cameras of leering when skirts flap up. Quaw, not half. The storm followed uproar last week when commentator passed the parcel with Andrew Castle made drooling comments about the girlfriend of Brit player Marcus Willis. Now, I'm not a fan of Andrew Castle. I think he is easily one of the most soulless, personalityless broadcasters this country has to offer. He was awful on GMTV. He's worse when he's on the radio. And I've never heard him on tennis because I don't watch the tennis. But I did read the comment he made. And have I got this right? Correct me if I'm wrong, dear caller. 0844 499 1000. All he said was, right, so this tennis player's got a fit girlfriend who's a dentist. All he said was, "I wish my dentist looked like that." I think. Isn't it? Is that all I said? Is that all he said? "I wish my dentist looked like that." I mean, all right, in the great scheme of things, you know, we're all supposed to be enlightened and we're not supposed to be sexist and leering. But it wasn't exactly... When I read the headline about leering and past the parcel with Andrew Castle, I thought he'd done something like, "Quaw, give her one!" He said something like that. Now, that would have been inappropriate. But he didn't. He just said, "I wish my dentist looked like that." I mean... You know, it's not brilliant, but then again, it's not exactly the worst thing in the world. So I would hardly call them drooling comments. Viewer Sally Ann McCarthy was among those who accused the BBC of continuing to ogle. She said online on Twitter, you see, stories sourced from Twitter. "Did we really need a slow-mo close-up of the girl in the dress jumping up and down?" Fellow fan L. Gliftlands... What? Blasted. It really is. I can hear a barrel being scraped. This is, by the way, this story... You couldn't make this up, right? This story is on page 3 of The Sun. Next to... A girl, she's got a nipples covered, but a girl in her bra and pants. So The Sun is having a pop at the BBC for gratuitous bum shots And they're doing it on page 3? Really? What a brilliant decision, Mr. Murdoch. Fellow fan L. Gliftlands blasted a blatant close-up butt shot of Canadian star Eugenie Bouchard, 22. Sue Simmons tweeted... It's just... Oh, man. 0844 499 1000. Sue Simmons tweeted, I think some shots are replayed in slow motion just for the knickers and buttocks. Well, you know, I mean, really? Oh, God, look at Tony Blair's teeth. Aren't they horrible? If you're watching on Periscope, I'm going to show you a close-up picture of Tony Blair's teeth. Aren't they horrible? He should have gone to an orthodontist. You would think, with all of his money, that he could get his people are tweeting me roller derby songs. No. I don't click on links, guys. Don't send me links. I just don't click on them. I kind of know what I want to look for on the internet, and I go and find it. Right? I don't click on links. So thank you, but no thank you. But Tony Blair's teeth, I mean, flipping heck, that's just outrageous. He needs to get those sorted out, you would have thought, don't you? He should get those sorted out. So I'm looking for a song while I'm doing this, and I don't think I've got the song on my... Oh, yes, I have. Yes, I have. Let me... 53, 47. There we go. 53, 47. Let's see if that back counting works, shall we? We'll play that. We'll end on that one. Oh, blimey, it's nearly 53, 47. 53, 54, 55, 56, 57. Yeah, that should do it. Oh, in that case, we're done. Oh, in that case, the panic over, guys. We're finished. David, thank you very much. Emma, thank you very much. Dear listener, thank you very much. Oh, and now someone calls in. I tell you what, go on, give him a call back. We'll take the call. We'll play that song another day. We'll play the song another day. Now someone calls in. I bet he's calling in because he thinks it's straight to air. Tell him he has to come to air now because he's buggered up the ending to the show. Otherwise, it would have been an excellent ending. Well, straight to where we'll come back. It's not a permanent thing, but it's gone for now. Okay, just because I want to make myself work a bit harder. Yes, Az. Good evening.
As you were, Ian. Hip hip hip.
Hip hip hip. Why have you decided to call in right at the last minute?
I only just got home. I was driving.
Oh, fair play, mate. Where you been? Anywhere nice?
Just in the car, innit? Oh no, just uni.
You just uni at this time of night.
I stay late. I'm a researcher. I stay out in the lab and do all the...
You're a bumlick.
All the pipetting.
Yeah, the old pipetting.
And the centrifuging.
Ay, ay, ay. There's something reassuring about the smell of a laboratory, isn't there?
It is. It's nice. Although the chemistry ones smell weird.
Well, they're making stink bombs, aren't they?
There they are. I don't like the chemistry ones. It makes me feel... I don't know. It's like going into a horror movie when I go in the chemistry lab. It's weird.
I had a summer job in a laboratory once. And it was my job to get in there really early and clean everything. You know those big cleaners they have?
There's going to be nasty stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And this was a place where they were like working on cures for cancer and AIDS, right? This is like
that's what I'm doing, yeah.
And I was there for 3 months, and at the end of it, one of the workers said, do you know what's really funny, right? A lot of the stuff that you've been cleaning hasn't come back, hasn't registered as being completely clean, but it must be something wrong with the machines, because you're doing everything right, aren't you? You're rinsing everything through by hand and then putting it in the machine, aren't you? And inside I'm thinking... I was supposed to rinse everything by hand first.
Oh.
And outside I went, yeah, yeah, that's weird, that. It must be something wrong with the machines. Anyway, thanks a lot. Bye. Most miserable job I ever, ever had. I got beaten up. Not beaten up. I don't retract that. But I got bullied.
Beaten up by scientists?
No, I got bullied by a Nigerian cleaner. Bullied, yeah.
We have to clean and wash everything ourselves. We don't have lackeys to do it for us.
He said lackeys, by the way. You said lackeys, lackeys. Didn't you?
Yeah, oh, good. I'm sorry, yeah, you said Nigel. Oh, dear, yeah.
No, 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 I know what you lackeys. Mean,
thank
don't
you
worry.
For clearing that up for me.
All of us went, dear, what did he say? Anyway, go on. So what have you got for us, Az?
I was going to say, I'm really glad you had the You Can Count On Me song still there.
Yeah, it's a great one.
On the way back, it's great. I was proper dancing away in the car. I love that one.
It's a good one. And someone just sent me a link. He did the theme tune to Kojak as well, which I'll need to have a little listen to later on.
Who was it? Who was it who did that tune?
Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh, yeah, it was on there.
Yeah.
Who did the... do you remember the old one you had about the someone did a swear one when you wanted to fill time for the dump?
Someone had a swear... What, the sweary song?
Yeah, no. It wasn't a sweary song. It was when you had to dump someone, you had a song that they would put on to like, fill out the time. Someone did a swear, like an S word or an F word or something that specific. Do you remember that one?
Where was that? Absolute?
No, I think it was LBC.
God, blimey. I've got to end it there, Raz. Thank you. That rings a distant bell. That would probably have been Eduardo that did that, or maybe Guy Magic Fingers. Anyway, that's it, guys. That's your lot. Back tomorrow at 10. Ta-ta.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Dial up and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.